This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge.
Paul Perillo.
Fragile. That must be Italian.
I think that says fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy. And Andy?
Andy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Andy Hart.
Andy, show me how the piggies eat.
Eat it, boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat.
Some guy named Tom.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny. He looks like a pink nightmare.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Holy smokes, only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window.
PFW in Progress.
Oh, I'm Officer Red Undercover, and I shoot you in a jet with my laser rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Okay, it's PFW in Progress. Apparently, Gary's just starting the show whenever he feels like it now, when, before the host is even here.
It's, plus, we got a TV running in the background with audio.
I mean, what kind of crap is this?
You're late.
It's Tom, Tom the Italian Stallion Casale here with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo.
We don't get nicknames?
You got to make them up yourself like I do.
I'll work on that.
We got a lot of emails, I think. I don't know. I just sat down 2 seconds ago. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, where you been?
I had to go run upstairs and take care of business. I'm a busy man.
You went to the bathroom?
No, I didn't go to the bathroom. I got things going on.
Oh, usually when I say take care of business, that's what I mean.
Okay. So, what? What's going on? You guys, I'll pull a Fred. You guys win the locker room. What's going on?
We were actually just watching the Nick Saban comments a little bit, and then went right into NFL Live or Game Day or whatever with
from last night, I believe.
Trey Wingo and Eric Allen and Sean Salisbury and the whole Filmgate issue or whatever you want to call it about the Dolphins purchasing possibly audio videotape that had good audio so that they could learn all the Patriots' signals, line calls, and protections. But according to Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at his press conference today, their protections are called in the huddle and not at the line of scrimmage except for very, very few cases. And
what are you looking for?
He considers himself a very smart football man, and he thinks they have a lot of smart defensive football players on this team that practice against them every day, and he doesn't think they've been able to pick up on the tendencies and calls for the offense. So he sort of shot it down completely, but on a national level, it's certainly getting a lot of run and attention.
Yeah, I mean, as is normally the case, the national people tend to overlook some of the details and the facts that go on. And that happens to us, too, because we do the same thing when we're talking about
other stuff.
Other
right.
stuff. First of all, a couple of things. One, Mike Reese wrote an interesting story, I thought, today in the Globe about this.
That was very good.
Having talked to Jim Miller, former backup quarterback for the Patriots in 2004, and Steve Sidwell, former defensive coordinator for the Patriots under Pete Carroll and elsewhere around the league, 30-plus years of coaching experience. They both indicated that this is commonplace.
Well, I think the issue...
How they got the...
Did they purchase the tape, and where did they purchase it from, to me, would be the issue. And I don't really fault the Dolphins on that. I'm more, why is this tape out there? Who's doing it? That would be the issue if I'm the NFL that I'd want to look
into.
The
only way I would consider this in some way underhanded is if Miami themselves went out and made this videotape
right.
on their own. They somehow got a guy on the sideline with a mic or whatever to get this audio. If Miami went out of their way to not only obtain the audio but to manufacture it, that to me would be...
Right.
Underhanded and beneath the rules, in my opinion.
Obviously, the first place you would think of if this stuff was available would be NFL Films, because they're the ones with all the mics on the field and all
right.
the mic'd up
and
guys
everybody
and the good
has access
footage.
To that.
Well, that's what I would say. If there was ever a situation where someone from NFL Films was doing something to benefit one team over another.
Sure.
That's a serious issue.
Yeah.
And because now, that NFL Films is supposed to be an arm of the National Football League just to promote the league and put together those good package, all that stuff. Now, if there's an alliance between a certain coach and a certain member of
agreed.
That, that's an issue. But if they just, well, Nick Saban says it was from TV tape. They just jacked up the audio on TV and were able to get from that. Not sure I believe that necessarily.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I wanted to get to a couple things. Jim Miller made a comment today in that story that I alluded to that they did the same thing. The Patriots did the same thing against Baltimore back in 2004. Tom Casale, our own Tom Casale, did his report with Steve Grogan today for Patriots Today.
Today.
And Grogan basically said that that stuff happens all the time. How did he put it, Tom?
He said, I asked him, you know, is there anything to this? Does it happen a lot? And he said, he's sure that it happens a lot. He says, you know, when Brady's sitting there calling out Omaha, he says, I know what that means. And
right.
so, and I think what you guys were saying, what Belichick said, the protections are called in the huddle. And he said, what Grogan said, that a defense would have to be extremely intelligent to figure everything out in the few seconds that they have
right.
on the field. It's just not possible.
And
right.
it's not like, well, there's two things I'd say here. First of all, I wonder, and maybe some, we have a lot of pretty tech-savvy emailers, I think. I wonder if it's possible, you know, Nick Saban says it was from TV footage. In the current day of HD TV, is there a way
absolutely.
To take out a channel that includes, Gary might know the answer to this, take out a channel that was the announcers, get rid of that mumbo-jumbo, because the 5.1 surround sound on HD games does pick up a lot of on-field parabolic type stuff. And if you could get rid of the announcers and get rid of some of the other crap and just listen to that, I think you could pick up
and
a lot.
How many times do you watch these TV shows? Now, I know it's TV and it's not necessarily real life, but can we all go under the assumption that a CSI or, you know, Law & Order, these things, the actual forensics or whatever that they're
some
doing.
Some of it exists.
Yes. I mean, the technology.
Based in truth.
How many times do you see, well, wait a minute, drop this and put that up and
right.
take this down, and they can they hear something that's muffled in the background.
Right.
Well, I could see them doing that with the offensive plays.
And HD is new technology, so this is something that, you know, a coach who's sort of thinking ahead and knows technology might be able to take advantage of, and maybe down the line there's some way that they keep it from happening. But the other issue is, I agree with Grogan, I agree with Sidwell, whoever. This is as old as football itself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read some of the good old college football stories, the things they did to cheat were monumental. And some of the best things in terms of actually sending young assistant coaches into other teams' camps to try out for the team just to learn what the team was doing that year and playbooks and, you know, Lawrence Taylor, the whole sending prostitutes to football players, all that kind of stuff. To me, on some level, that's part of the game. That's part of the competition and the chess game.
And I would have to say that guys like Sean Payton and Eric Mangini that used to be here, that's a bigger advantage than getting these little sound bites or things like that. I
right.
mean, Bill told us this summer, I'm sure some teams have our playbooks. I'm sure it's out there.
Right.
You know, because we had coaches go to other places. But it's all about the execution
right.
and stuff like that. So he's telling you that it doesn't even really matter if they have your playbook.
Right.
So we're supposed to believe that a couple of things said on an audio made a difference in a 21-0
right.
butt-whooping? I don't buy it.
I don't really either. Now, it may have benefited them slightly. It may have given them confidence. Maybe that was the only thing. You know, one of those placebo effects where you just think you know more, so you have more confidence going into the game. I don't know. The other issue I would side with Sidwell on is I think it's dumb that they're talking about it. They should have never let it get out
right.
there. Just keep
right.
it under your wraps, and then next year, maybe they're still using the same things, and you still have the advantage. Either way, just keep your mouth shut if you're the Dolphins.
I agree. Well, we have a lot to get to. We have, if you want to send us, we got emails piling up, as Fred would say. You know, I'm filling in for Fred today as he's Christmas shopping. What do you think Fred's doing right now? Do you think he's better? First of all, I'd love to see Fred in the mall just because of how fast he walks. You know, in the mall, you kind of, I like to get through people myself, but in the mall, you kind of,
right.
you got to be slow, you got to maneuver. Fred's one of those guys that just huffs and puffs down the hallway. So that's the first thing I'd like to see. Then he's telling me, I did all my shopping online, and now he's got to go all day to go Christmas shopping. I'd love to see Fred go Christmas shopping for a full day. That's
Plus, where does he go? I mean, I can't. The only store I can see him in is like a Best Buy or
yeah,
like a Brookstone,
it.
One of those tech gadgety stores.
I can't see
stores.
Him in the Gap.
Or like Macy's picking out a blouse for his wife or something.
Can you see Fred like trying on pants or a shirt
no,
in the Gap?
I just...
Sausage Fest?
I don't know what's going on there. Much like the Doug Gabriel situation, there's more to
yep.
that story.
And we'll get to that.
I don't even care if he's soft or hard or whatever.
But, if you want to send us an email to webradio@patriots.com, the telephone number is 508-543-7482 for the three people that do call us on occasion.
We do have a lot of news, though, actually. Yep. I mean, with Doug Gabriel.
Doug Gabriel is out.
Gone.
We have another tight end.
Rod Trafford was signed to the practice squad. Some other guy, I don't know his name, was signed to the practice squad. Gus Scott was signed to the practice squad. Gene Merchkowski was in the locker room.
Ryan Finnese.
Yeah, something like that.
A lot of comings and goings.
Defensive
here.
Back.
The offensive linemen are clean shaven, at least in terms of Stephen Neal and Dan Copen.
Two of them that I saw, yeah.
I'm going to guess they all are.
I will too.
The punter's never in the locker room. What else do we got going on?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on.
In terms of the injury update and the Paul Perillo eyeball test that generally happens on Wednesdays, as far as I know, you guys can correct me, but I did not see neither Vince Wilfork nor Benjamin Watson. Either one of you guys see either one?
Nope.
So that's not a good sign, in my opinion.
Well, it's definitely not a good sign for Watson when it comes to this week when they're bringing in another tight end.
They had two tight ends, according to the Boston Globe. Again, we'll give Mike Reese credit. Because
the great Rasby.
He had Walter Rasby and another tight end whose name is escaping me right now.
I keep forgetting the guy's name.
And for workouts.
Same type of guy, though. Big blocking tight end.
And Rod Trafford, who was here, I want to say 2000. You all right over there? I thought I was going to have to do the Heimlich.
I thought Tom was going to say something other than big blocking tight end.
Oh.
That's not where my mind was, Andy.
Rod Trafford was with the Patriots in training camp, I think, in 2004? Or was it 2005?
Four or three.
Three? Was it
not five.
Ago?
It was four or three. It was a couple of years back because he went to Europe. He was with the Bills, I believe, for two seasons on practice squad and maybe even active for some games. So he's been in Buffalo for a couple of years.
There's a lot of changes going on. And with those changes, I just want to read this one email that was sent in yesterday just to get your guys' opinion.
Does this end with Tom Casale's great?
No, it's from Glenn. He says, divisional games are always tough. If I had said we would split with Miami at the beginning of the year, everyone would have been happy. Miami is always tough. Did they play bad? Yes. But if we had won the game, we should have, the Jets game would be 10-3. Would everybody be spouting all gloom and doom? Are they talking gloom in Indy or Cincy? No, let's just take this one game at a time and see what happens. Well, first of all, they're talking gloom in Indianapolis, if
absolutely.
To answer that question.
As they
Second
should
of all, we are taking it one week at a time. And the last 3 weeks, the Patriots haven't played well. And this last week, they played as bad a game in December that they ever have under Belichick.
And let me take it a step further. If you had asked me before the season started, would I be okay with a split against Miami, I probably would have said yes. If you asked me after they start off the season 1-6 and are not a good team, I would say no. Now I want a sweep. Now I'll take the split against the Jets because the Jets were better than I thought.
Tom Casale just said something I thought was very interesting.
I did.
The worst game ever in December under Belichick.
I think you'd have to eliminate 2000. There was probably a bad game.
But weren't they playing tight ball games then?
They were
a team that was on the way up, so they were playing tight games.
Check 2000. And tell
they
me when
the Ravens tough.
Tell me when the
that
Bears
year,
that was 99. Tell me when the Bears game was in 2000, because if that was in December, and I think it was, that was the worst game I've ever seen them play. Period.
In the history of
Shane
the Patriots?
Matthews completed 15 passes in a row in that game.
In the history of the Patriots?
No,
you mean?
The Belichick era.
Oh, which is same according to the PR department.
Right.
So while Andy's looking that
Tom,
up.
Tom, you want this last slice of pizza?
No.
Andy, I'm
December 10th. 24-17, they lost at Chicago.
That was as bad a performance as you'll ever see.
They only lost by 7.
Chicago was god-awful that year, and Shane Matthews completed 15 passes in a row.
Well, the Patriots weren't really great,
I understand
they?
That, but I'm just telling you. I'm just, as someone who was there to cover that game, so it was about as bad a performance as you could get.
In terms of expectations, for what you'd expect from that team, that was below what you'd expect. Okay, that's all I wanted to make sure. I wouldn't know. I was, in college or something.
Well, but it's still a pretty bad. I mean, even that, like Andy said, they were getting better at that. They were playing,
right.
And
plus, they were a bad team.
Well,
this is supposed to be a championship competitive team that has maybe gotten worse 3 weeks in a row and then just got their butts whooped.
Yeah, now, if the Patriots win the next three games and are heading into the playoffs, we'll feel better about them. But right now, they're not playing well.
Right.
The coaches are saying it. The players are saying it. It's not just us. I mean, fans can look blindly and say, well, and Bill, we trust and all this. But It is what it is.
I'm going to quote a wise man that I spoke with on the phone this morning that some of our listeners will know, former PFW writer Shane Donaldson. And he apparently has a very good friend who's a Dolphins fan, and they were sort of hanging out this weekend. And Shane said to him, it's a good thing that the Dolphins crapped themselves coming out of the gates this year because they're the best team in the AFC East right now. And if they had had any kind of a start to the year, they'd be running away with the division at this point, potentially. So they're the best team right now.
The other guy's name is escaping me. Ah, jeez.
Yep, that's Shane. Want to play the one where he fell asleep on the air?
Well, the good news is that Bobby Ingram's playing this Thursday.
Good news is the Hart Foundation has been long gone and done.
So, well, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of emails about Doug Gabriel.
We don't know.
We have no clue. There's got to be something more to it. Listen, the guy was on the field. He was playing. He fumbled the ball. He stopped playing. They have no receivers. They cut him. I'm not good at math. That doesn't add up.
Right.
No matter how you try to arrange it, it does not add up.
Not to mention he was just on the field. There was a stretch there that he was their go-to guy, their playmaker at receiver. And
you were every week you were getting fantasy. You were saying, fantasy points.
Yeah, I actually had him on my fantasy team and was scoring points. People were laughing that I was scoring points with Doug freaking Gabriel. And then they laughed more because he never played again.
So.
But, yeah, we don't have anything. Just pure speculation on my part. My inclination is to say there's something beyond just he dropped the ball on a fumble and he wasn't progressing in the system because right now this team just doesn't have any receivers and I don't see how you can cut a guy who has already made plays for you this year.
Let me ask you this. Any possibility you think that maybe Gabriel went to them and said,
at this point,
get me out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you don't have any intentions of playing me.
Right, but I still think there's a story. I don't think that fumble was the reason he went from playing to not playing. There's got to be something somewhere, somehow.
No, and I thought it was interesting, the question that was asked in the press conference of, would it be accurate to say or fair to say that simply this system, your system, is not for everybody, is not a good fit for everybody? And Bill said yes. It would be very accurate to say, and I thought it was interesting of him to say, especially for receivers. I think it would be accurate in this case and has been accurate in other situations, especially with receivers. So maybe it was as simple as he just wasn't picking it up. And
yeah.
I think part of it might have been that, and I'm wondering if maybe Gabriel didn't go to them and say, okay, you're not happy with the way I'm picking it up or whatever. Let me go somewhere else where they'll let me play anyway.
Could be.
Let me go to Indianapolis. They need a receiver.
Has he been? No. What
probably at some point today, someone will probably claim him.
Right.
The two funniest ones would be either A, the Raiders, because that would mean they got him a fifth round pick, or two, the Jets, just to do it.
Jets would be funny.
That would add more fuel to the fire.
But just on that system thing, I also don't necessarily know that. I think you could read two different things into the word system. Is it football system or Patriots system?
Absolutely.
And was football not the most important thing in his life kind of thing? You know what I mean? They have their prerequisites in terms of off-the-field stuff that I think you could kind of lump in with the on-the-field. So he could,
he just didn't
work, or he wasn't a good, you know, I think you could put almost anything into the Patriots system.
Well, our buddy Dan Heffron chimes in. He said, the Monday night game against the Titans in December of 2002 was pretty darn awful. Maybe not quite as bad as Miami this week, but not far behind. They gave up well over 200 yards rushing, and they just looked bad.
That was a very bad game, no doubt, Dan. And that was the game. I mean, that was the infamous game, Tom. Eddie George had one of those games where it was like 35 carries for like 110 yards.
Yeah.
You know, the average per carry was around 3. But the fact of the matter is every yard that he needed to get in that game, he got. You know, he would run.
I remember the game.
It would be 3 yards on first down, 3 yards on second down. McNair would make a play on third down, first down. 3 yards on first down for, you know what I mean? It was, you know, his average was never impressive, but if it was third and one, he got 2. If it was in the goal line, he got in. And McNair even hurt him that game with some scrambles. I think he ran for a touchdown. He beat Tabucky Jones on one play, I remember, in the red zone. Just thoroughly dominated at the line of scrimmage, and Belichick, all we could talk about after the game was, well, he only averaged 2.9 yards a carry. I'm like, that's funny. You know, usually you don't talk to us about the stats, and you want to know about the bottom line, and the bottom line is the other team did anything it wanted to on offense that night. I think Dan Heffron's absolutely right.
Should we be talking more about this stealing thing? Because every time I look up on our studio just, TVs, ESPN, NFL Network, it's all that's all they're talking about.
That's just something the media
grabs. It's salacious.
Like, if that, it's just, they grab
salacious,
it and run
preposterous.
With it. And it's just, you know, they have something to talk about now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a sexy story. You know, it's like, did a team cheat? You know, I personally...
Is cheating.
Did they cheat when Jason Taylor was running through guys and making them look stupid? I don't understand. I mean...
Well, that's another whole aspect of it. Is
they
how
got
many,
whooped.
How many times did they get pressure because of a guy unattended to?
Right.
Jeremiah Bell, I would point to, as compared to how many times did they get pressure because
Jason
the
Taylor
guy that was getting
somebody.
Pressured completely won his one-on-one battle?
Right.
So I don't think it's a big deal. I think if you're a fan and you hold on to that, you're desperate and you're just looking for something to try to make the loss better. It wasn't. They got whooped in every aspect of the game, from special teams, offense, defense, coaching. It doesn't matter. And you just take it and move on. Now we'll see what happens this week against
Plus,
right.
I just think it happens every week.
Do.
I think there's teams out there we never hear about that do some little thing that they think gained them an advantage and helped them win. We just never hear about it.
Right, and it's called preparation. And when the Patriots do it better than anybody else, you know, it's great coaching, but for some reason it's
right.
done to us.
I'm sure there's things Patriots have done over the last 5 or 6 years that other team.
Without getting too much into it, I know for a fact that that's the case. What's the matter, Andy? Did you lose your headphones?
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, you know what? These headphones are great, but that battery idea is just terrible.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever turns them off. Thanks, Gary.
Gary, do we have a backup?
Yeah, right.
By
now.
Any chance?
How is that my fault? While Andy's getting his headphones, I'll read a email here.
On defense, that's where he sits. So he didn't turn them off.
Well, now I mine are working. Okay. This is Sean from Macon, Georgia. I understand the wide receiver is a position that has been a weak link on the team this year. Many fans are upset that the Pats did not re-sign Deion Branch. I am disappointed just like everyone else. But look what Seattle paid the guy. I think it was at least $10 million bonus with a huge salary to go with it. I don't blame the Pats for passing on that. Branch is not that good. That goes for all the Pats losses over the years. And he mentions, you know, all the guys. And Branch, he said, David Gibbons and Branch, they all signed contracts that were considered above the market value for their worth. Most are not playing anywhere near their past performances. Patriot players are simply well-coached and come from a winning franchise. They get overvalued and receive more money than probably everyone should from the other teams who want to be like the Patriots.
What?
I don't know. Well, I don't know what that means. Teams want to be like the Patriots. They're just looking for players.
Is that done? Are you done?
Okay, well, then he just goes on. I'm done with it.
My one question would be, what is market value? Who determines what, you know?
The market.
Right. So why is it that these guys
Deep
all
thoughts.
Got over market value? Who's to say what that is?
They didn't.
They got it, so that's what
Only
the market value is.
Only takes one person to want
to say,
you.
And who's to say David Gibbons isn't going to have a huge year next year? He got injured early on. He was playing with musical quarterbacks. Now they got Vince Young. He'll be in his second year next year. Who says Gibbons doesn't go out and catch 70 passes?
That's right. Our bet that we had early in the year is tabled until next season.
Now,
well, that's true because he did get hurt.
Anybody who's going to give Tom Ashworth that kind of money should be horsewhipped.
No,
let's be honest.
And I'm not saying when I say that, you know, who's to determine? I personally wouldn't have given David Gibbons the amount of money he got either.
I wouldn't either.
But I also, if I was put into a position where I had no choice the way I think the Patriots were, then I might have had to rethink that. The Patriots were in a situation where they had a chance to kind of waste a year here if they didn't get something done. Now, they thought that they were going to get something done with Deion Branch.
Right. That's
and that's why the Gibbons
up.
Thing happened. And when you get the double whammy, you're in trouble.
It blew up in their faces. No
now, there's
question.
Been there's been times this year that they've been able to get by because Brady is so good and Caldwell has done okay, and they've been able to patch it together. There have been other times where they've been completely shut down and neutralized because they don't have anybody getting open. And that's happened more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really like the whole idea of, well, I wouldn't have paid them that much either. That's too much or whatever. Who's to say what's too much and what's not too much? And at some point, the Patriots are going to have to start paying some of their players.
That's another thing I'd like to bring up.
And if
the Seattle Seahawks, everybody makes fun of them. But how come every time they have to sign their franchise quarterback, their franchise running back, their franchise left tackle, oh, they need a linebacker, Julian Peterson. Oh, they need a wide receiver, Deion Branch. How badly have they mismanaged the cap?
and they certainly win a little bit.
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, they've gone about it a certain way, but they're one of those teams that Patriots, oh, they overpay to get this guy. Well, maybe they overpay, but they overpay every time they need something and go get it. And now, they even had enough to waste on Tom Ashworth.
Let's face it, they're 8-5 because
They lost their franchise quarterback and their franchise running back.
What if they go back to the Super Bowl this year? That means two straight Super Bowl appearances. Maybe they know what they're doing.
Right. That's my point. They just seem to have the money anytime they need to go out and get something.
I just don't like the whole note. And then you say, well, those players never approach maybe they're being used a little bit differently than they were. First of all, Deion Branch is having a terrific year. I don't care what his numbers are. I've watched some Seattle games. He's played very well.
Yes, he has. That's a good point, Paul, because I think that's we read it in the emails and we just kind of go over it. But there's a misconception that Deion Branch isn't playing well for some reason. Deion Branch is having a great year.
Deion Branch has 41 catches for 572 yards. That's 14 yards a catch, which is pretty good, with four touchdowns.
Wallace.
And he missed a couple of games to start the season
Wallace is as good as missing games.
Had Seneca Wallace for
about
three
games to play. And his career high is 78 catches.
So I don't necessarily buy the notion that he hasn't approached what he's done in the past.
Plus, in the regular season, he's never approached his postseason phenomenal performances. He's always been a game kind of guy.
Gary gives me a big update here. I'm sorry to break this news on PFW in Progress. No, Peter Boyle died today.
Oh, is that a...
The father in Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
That's a big loss.
That sucks.
He is one of the most underrated funny guys
ever.
Without question, the best part of that show.
Well, now they're
Now
they're showing Lamar Hunt. Do we have a daily double?
Well, that's. I think this is last night, though.
Oh, okay.
The NFL Live.
He's coming threes.
Apparently it's close, because Bill was close enough to say, did he die?
Well, has he passed away?
And Alan Greenberg is looking at his watch, counting down the minutes.
No, but it's close.
It's close.
Yeah, Lamar Hunt.
I heard that in the press conference, and they're talking about, well, it's close, and I'm writing a story on it. Somebody's laughing in the background.
I have to write it. It may have been Andy. No.
Hey, I didn't laugh. I was uncomfortably.
An audible groan from the PFW. It was like very insensitive the way Alan said that.
Yeah.
And he's usually Mr. Sensitivity.
Yeah, that was awful. But Lamar Hunt, obviously the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, I guess not doing very well.
And the guy who coined the phrase Super Bowl.
Yes.
And why was that?
Well, now, did he actually do it, or did his niece or nephew?
His niece had a Super Bowl.
Right. But that's did the kid say it, or he came up with it?
I think it was a female, was playing with the ball, and he heard the term Super Bowl, and then
that made him think of it.
I wasn't sure if it was one of those that he stole from some little kid.
That might be the real story, but
I'm going with that.
I kind of like
Bill's
bit.
Talk about him. He was an AFC guy.
Win
one for the AFC, and he was always all for you as long as you know, if it wasn't him and you weren't playing against him, you know, and you were AFC, it was all, you know, it's all about you.
Okay.
I like that. The old AFC-NFC thing. You know, it's so long ago, you don't think of it in those terms anymore.
There's not enough good rivalries in sports anymore. Everybody's got to be hugging each other and kissing each other. Where's the hate? You know, where's the just...
You have enough of that for everybody.
Just despising
I was going to say, in your heart.
Where's the hate in sports? You just don't see
how
it
I kept
anymore.
That one down, I'll never know.
Okay, Ron, he's got some hate. I am a loyal Pats fan in Jacksonville, Florida. I do have the Sunday ticket, and I'm just disgusted in how the team is going downhill fast the past 3 weeks. The main problem is that no matter how good your system is, you have to have players to execute it. Double exclamation point. I don't know what the coaching coaching and management staff is thinking, but you have to get off your wallet and pay these good players who led you to the championships. Double exclamation point. It takes more than a big ego to win in the NFL. Whoa. Triple exclamation point.
A shot.
The team is spoiled and thinks success will come automatically. Double exclamation point. So Ron
is
screaming.
Was this Elaine Bennis writing this in?
He threw one triple exclamation point.
That was the eat more than a big ego to win.
Right? Yeah.
That's a shot at Paul.
Why is that a shot at me?
So someone not happy with the way...
there's more than one.
Well, you don't count.
Hey.
I'm talking about the fans.
I'm just an objective observer.
Boy, we got a long one here.
Oh, boy. Can you summarize it?
Yeah, I'm going to...
Paraphrase? While you're looking for the words that you want to key on, I'm just enjoying Gary, who... is the commander of a lot of very expensive technical equipment in there, holding some DVD player up in the air, shaking it, trying to get something out of it.
It was a CD player.
Oh, a CD player.
Okay, this is from...
It got stuck.
Yeah, big difference.
This is from Karthik in Chicago. He says, sorry for the long one, please read. Well, I'll read half of it.
How do you spell Karthik?
C-A-R-T-H-I-K.
You know what it makes me think of? If you're like a little kid and you don't feel good in the backseat. I'm Karthik.
He's talking about the guy in Go ahead, Tom. You can read it.
I would never think of that in a million years, by the way.
You're creative in a different way.
You don't have the indie heart mind.
He said, hey, guys, Tom, I think he's trying to say Casale, briefly mentioned in yesterday's session that the 2005 draft class doesn't look promising now except for Mankins. The 2006 draft is not much different either except for Maroney. I do not understand the philosophy of making value picks. What value did Garrett Mills offer the team? You have Heath Evans, Patrick Pass, two tight ends, and have taken David Thomas in the previous round. I still do not understand the motive to take Mills. That's an absurd decision. Also, I think we took Maroney just because we didn't want him to end up with the Colts, and that decision ultimately turns up bad for Maroney than for the Colts. Maroney would have been the contender for Rookie of the Year if he had played for the Colts. We should have taken Manny Lawson and would have gotten Adai or Jones-Drew in the second round. Well, no, you wouldn't have. Also, we had a chance of taking Richard Marshall, and instead we traded picks to get Chad Jackson. None of the Florida receivers make it big in the NFL. So he's already down. He's already saying this class stinks.
Well,
for sure.
The one thing I'll agree 100% with is the Garrett Mills pick.
Yeah, none of us understood that at the time.
I didn't understand the pick.
I agree with his other thing. It sounds like he likes Lawrence Maroney, and I think he would be having a tremendous year if he was in that Colts offense.
Oh, he'd have 1,200 yards easy if he was with the Colts.
But that guy sounds like he almost feels bad for Lawrence Maroney that he had the misfortune of being picked by the Patriots. And I don't think they just picked him to keep him away from the Colts.
No.
I think they saw a big, fast, playmaking back who would fit well in their system, and they
Corey
jumped
Dillon
at the chance.
Is, you know,
right.
Getting up there. What do you...
I don't think they... I mean, I think he was a good fit for their system and what Bill likes as a running back. That's why I think they took him.
Right.
He was value there.
They don't take picks to keep him away from other teams.
The Mills... The only thing I could think of was with the Mills pick is that they were undecided between Thomas and Mills. You know, kind of when you're doing a fantasy draft and you have two guys you want to take, and then the next round you're sitting there and you're like, oh, my God, the other guy I wanted is here.
I hope that's not the case.
I was going to say, I hope that's not the case, too, because that would make me even more upset.
No, I'm just saying, maybe it was something where they had both guys even, and they took a guy, and then next round later they're thinking, boy, this guy's still on the board. He's by far the best player we have rated. Now, I think it's stupid.
Well, I think
I'm just saying maybe that's what they
did. I like the value system. I just didn't like that particular pick. It's not the system that I have fault with.
And I think they probably liked him. And if you when you get to that point, you're thinking about it, well, Graham could be gone. And so you have Thomas. Well, Pass and Evans are just guys. And maybe Pat, you know, maybe we can replace those guys with one guy here. And it just didn't play out that way.
Well, this year it didn't play out.
Right.
I mean, let's not write him off because he didn't play in his rookie year.
And
I mean, Chad Jackson to me is far more disappointing than Garrett Mills.
Oh, yeah. No question.
I mean, you know.
But I feel you can go too far with your value system, kind of like the Vikings go too far with their defensive scheme. Like, hey, you know what? They need a freaking linebacker. Pretty soon you're going to draft one, and I don't care what your draft board says, or you're going to be putting
especially
Eric Alexander
Yeah, but
there.
If they take one there, they're getting the same kind of guy they've been trying to draft, a mid-round Ryan Clarridge.
No, I mean somewhere. I'm talking about like
oh,
the
okay.
last couple
right.
years.
And I agree with Tom to an extent here, too, because, okay, with your value in the first round, if you just didn't have a linebacker, you don't want to draft a position
right.
in the first round.
Right.
But if you're in the third round,
right.
you know, maybe you can do it there where you can say, you know what? I have David Thomas, or I have in the fourth round, I have Garrett Mills, you know, ranked a little higher than, you know, fill in the blank linebacker here. But I got to, you know, I need a linebacker. You know, at some point, you got to take a guy and hope he develops.
They had Garrett Mills rated a lot higher than Monty Beisel, Gary.
I think you actually have to.
Monte Beisel.
You have to register.
Right.
To be,
he's like
rated.
PFW, Patriots Football
Monte
Weekly shows TV
Beisel.
Ratings. Non-existent.
Now, we got kind of a theme here with the Chad Jackson must be ready to step up thing, which I feel has nothing to do with the release of Doug Gabriel.
It's not like
Bill's sitting there going, all right, this is it. Here's the week.
The unproven guy is ready to try and do something, so we'll just cut the veteran.
So he said, love the show yesterday. This is Tom from Nottingham, England. Hi, guys. Love the show yesterday and still believe it is better when you're all doing it. What do you think of the Gabriel release? Surely number 17 has to step up and play with the big boys now. Caldwell and Brown can't lead the receivers. If Jackson is struggling, just make him run in a straight line up the field and Brady can throw it to him, even if he can't get lost going straight. Even he can't get lost going straight, and it's easier on the legs because you're not turning and twisting.
But they tried that, and he didn't catch it. Remember, they tried that play deep down the left sideline, and Brady put the ball there, and he kind of let up and didn't catch the ball. So he failed at that, too.
So he says, keep up the good work, and he says, how's the John Rook podcast tally coming along? Are we at 100 yet?
Nope.
Well, you're close. You're at 48. Fred, because...
What's the rant tote board that we now have on the wall?
It's like when we talk about vacuums and Fred's Christmas shopping.
Oh, I can bring up all kinds of
he
stuff.
He said, Fred...
Is that our rants or when the,
ours.
When the readers go on the rants?
It's our rants.
About us. So it's whenever we go off on a tangent? Does Peter Boyle count then?
No, it's like a real rant. Like, you know, if you and I start talking about like hamburger places, and it's like 8 minutes later, and I'm like, Paul, you're crazy. Fuddruckers.
I was going to say that begins and ends with Fuddruckers.
Oh, I think there's some competition.
Oh, shut up, Fred. Because it's
double bacon barbecue burger at Cheesecake Factory.
I just want you to shut up.
Oh, that's not even on the plan.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I don't want you to talk about it.
Sully's,
R.F. O'Sullivan's in Somerville.
Your place is
Fred.
Certainly arguing.
Jesus Christ, I had to mention hamburgers.
Stop.
I should have said ladies' underwear. Fred,
yeah, I know, because I don't like those as much as hamburgers.
That's Paul's top drawer in his dresser.
Well, he said, Fred, because it's Christmas, can we have it on podcast for 1 week and then tell you if we like it or not? The answer to that is no.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not Fred. I'm just answering for him.
Where's the crickets?
oh, he's got
him. We got Rick B. coming in with the old Yogi Berra saying, it ain't over till it's over.
Ricky B.
That's true.
He said, guys, I agree the Dolphins' loss was a bad loss, but keep things in perspective. It ain't over until it's over. The Pats, in my opinion...
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
The Pats, in my opinion...
Ooh, up to seven.
...have just as good a chance as anyone to win the Super Bowl. Well, that's not correct. Sure, it sounds like just another Patriots homer making wishful thinking. Yes,
sounds
it does.
Sounds like a commentary to me.
It sounds like Fred Kirsch chiming in from home.
Or an Andy Hart commentary.
Well, speaking of which, check out Patriots Football Weekly this week.
But now this is why he goes wrong here. This is where the email goes wrong. Well, look at what happened last year. One of my coworkers is a big Steelers fan. He has his office door a copy of the Pittsburgh Gazette from last year after the Steelers lost and were 7-5. The headline reads, "It's over," in big letters. As we know, the Steelers went on to beat the better teams, Bears, Colts, Denver, and win the Super Bowl 40. Keep hope alive. Yeah, but the Steelers were playing good at this point. They were starting to play better now.
Plus, I use that argument, too. After 12 games, they were 7-5 and on a three-game losing streak. And then the 13th game, they started a winning streak. The Patriots are in the 13th game and have a losing.
And you made a point, Tom, saying, you know, they could win the last three games here, the Patriots, and, you know, you might gain some momentum going to the playoffs. And that's true. And if that happens, and especially if they do so convincingly, we might rethink. I don't think it's over.
No, it's not over, but they have to play. Listen, let me tell you something right now. If they come out and play the way they played against the Bears or anybody else at San Diego or at Baltimore, they will go home in a body bag. Tom Brady won't even make the flight back home. They will get destroyed in every sense of the word, and that's just a fact. Because I don't care how good you think the Bears are, they're not in the class with the Chargers.
Not even close.
Teams. So if they don't start playing better, they're going home, and they're going home soon. That's just a fact of life. And
I got to tell you, I think if the Chargers play their game, there's nobody in their class.
And I agree. But Salt from Orlando.
With Merriman back? Sorry. But with Merriman back, I think they are.
So how about hamburgers?
Re-goddamn-diculous.
Well, that's where we're going here.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, nice.
Salt says, every time I eat at Fuddruckers, I get sick.
Where are you eating at Fuddruckers?
That's because you're eating too much.
See, I like Fuddruckers, but I don't think it's as good.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't put it at the top
of
my list.
I love your JT. Is it JT? No, what's
the name? No, he's the quarterback who looked ridiculous.
RJ.
RJ.
RF.
RF.
We got an interesting
O'Sullivan's.
one of our best emailers, TJ from NJ, chimes in with a Super Bowl origin. It was Lamar Hunt's niece that gave him the Super Bowl idea. Tom, you were right. She was playing with a Super Bowl, but it was her Texas accent that made it sound like Super Bowl.
So he stole it.
And that gave Lamar the idea. Check the book, America's
Super
Game.
Super Bowl. Is that how it would go?
He didn't steal it.
Super Bowl.
I agree with Andy. He stole it.
He stole it. Is that how it would go? Super Bowl. Super Bowl. What's a Texas accent?
So let's discuss the...
Super Bowl.
Let's discuss the... Are you guys going to talk about football or...
You brought up the Super Bowl thing.
I just read the email. It's over. Let's move on.
What is your problem?
Well, without Doug Gabriel, what are they going to do?
Same thing they've been doing with Doug Gabriel on the sideline.
But they can't. How are they going to spread? Let's say Washington's out for just a couple of weeks.
Well, that's okay. A big. See, that, you know, that I would say is the much bigger factor. What happens if you lose Watson?
Your leading receiver.
And the guy, you know, one of the big things they keep talking about is they don't have any deep receivers to stretch, to stretch the field. And they still won't. You know, with or without Watson, they don't.
Right.
But if you take Watson out, the one area that a lot of the teams that have had success against the Patriots defensively have brought its safety up close to the line of scrimmage.
Word.
That leaves you vulnerable, theoretically, in that deep seam where Watson has been open, where he was open on Sunday and dropped the pass from Brady before he got hurt. Do they have? I mean, I don't think Graham is going to consistently get open on that play. I mean, he will be open from time to time, but not like Watson. How much does that affect anything without anybody on the outside and without anybody in the inside? I mean, are they just doomed? I mean, is the passing game just in a lot of trouble?
Are they just doomed?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of questions here with
Bar
the passing
Gaffney.
Game.
Send him deep. I don't have an answer. I mean, I don't think there's an obvious answer.
But now teams can even come up more, you know, against that run if Watson's not there. Because Watson, at least, you have to watch him down the middle of the field.
Right.
And if he's not there, you're starting to pile up against Maroney and Dillon. And,
which, by the way, if Maroney plays.
Right, if Maroney plays.
So, I mean, you don't even have a big play threat in the run if he doesn't play. You don't have a big play threat in the passing game. You're very bland, easily defendable.
And that's the thing, you know, that's the thing I wanted to say about Miami. Maybe the Patriots are just predictable, too. Maybe Miami, because the first game they played, did they have sound in that game? Because people always want to know, well, Miami's playing them good. Maybe they know what the Patriots are going to do. Maybe they have, you know, they're watching them, they're breaking them down, and they're saying, you know, when they in this, because teams can get predictable. And if you watch the Patriots, they kind of just they run the same stuff.
And teams with good coaches that know the Patriots, like Saban and Mangini, have two tough losses and two victories.
Right. And now if you say you have Jerry Rice and John Taylor or Harrison and Wayne, well, you can run the same stuff then because those guys are so good, you just can't stop them anyway. But when you're lining up guys like Jabbar Gaffney and you're running these rinky-dink plays, it's not going to work.
But what that would be my question. What do you do?
That's what I was trying to get to.
And I think, well, that's why.
And I don't know. I don't have the answer.
I don't either. And
because we can rip Josh McDaniels, but he doesn't have a lot of good groceries to make a pretty nice meal.
And I think, you know, I think the fans can say that we're being negative all the time, but we're sitting here, we're posing the question, and none of us have an answer.
Well, pose it to the.
What do you do?
What do you do?
This team does not have a lot of talent on it right now. I honestly believe that. You guys can talk about Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi is not the same Teddy Bruschi you're talking about from 2002 and 2003. He's not the same player. So I just don't see it. I see a few really good players. I see a couple of guys sprinkled around like your Artrell Hawkins and guys like that who are players who play well in the system. But when you look top to bottom, I think there's a lot of holes on this team. Right
and
now.
I just – what we're offense I really think is the question because – the thing you'd like to point to, I think, and we talked about this early in the year, is the line and the running backs. Okay, we have two NFL running backs, and we have a line that we've invested in. In theory, our bread and butter should come out and try to establish the run, but we haven't seen that.
And you're right, that's a big problem. The line, that's where the money is.
Right.
They're supposed to be the strength.
I didn't expect these receivers to be great. That's what we talked about all June, July, August.
Exactly.
So it's not really a downfall for them. It's what we sort of expected, but the line, the running backs, they're supposed to be what we count on, and then if you can run the ball, then that's where you sprinkle in the Tom Brady big play, and you know he makes a play here or there, and a random receiver makes a play. But if you don't have the ground to start with, this receiving corps is certainly not carrying anything.
And I think you make a good point because say they play the Ravens and it's 13-10 type of game, they might be able to get that a win like that.
Right.
But say you play the Chargers and they're rolling on offense, how is this team, or even the Bengals? Let's say the Bengals come in here and they're having one of their games. I mean, can the Patriots score enough to keep with these teams? Because I'm not sure they can at this point.
Not from what I've seen, unless they play the Vikings. Maybe the Packers.
Yeah, if they were in the NFC North.
They'd be killing it.
And I think that's why I still believe that the Bears are overrated. Because I think if any good team was in the NFC North, they'd be killing too.
Right.
Nothing to add, Paul.
Of course, if you have Devin Hester returning a couple kickoffs a game for scores... That helps change things.
Just when you agree with everything that's being said, I don't really see the need to trounce on a man's grave.
Boy, we make fun of him for talking too much. Now he's not talking, and you're trying to get him to talk.
But well, I thought he was waiting to say something.
No, I really agree with everything that you guys were saying.
Yeah, I mean, we're stumped. If you guys out there have any ideas how they're going to improve offensively, and I mean like real ideas, not all they have Tom Brady. We all know
well,
how
I was
Tom
thinking
Brady
we package
is.
Jabbar Gaffney and Dave Thomas for LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates.
And, you know, the whole thing with Chad Jackson, too, the notion that, you know, the Gabriel release is a sign that Chad Jackson's ready to emerge. Look, he could go out and play three games now to close the season and, you know, catch five passes in each of them, and people look at see you.
And I'll say, I told you so.
That doesn't mean that that was the reason why Gabriel was cut.
Right.
Is one of my.
There's
point
a reason is. Why that we may never know until someone writes a book.
Well,
or maybe
you.
He pops off to the Indy Star
that's
when
true.
He signs.
I'll tell you who finds out is Dan Pyers. He'll find out.
All right, so we'll wait for Pyers.
He won't write it, but he'll find out.
And then he'll tell us, and then
you know,
we'll
I love
say
Doug.
We have a source, and it'll be Pyers. Just so everyone, I'm sure he'll go on the message boards under Dan Pyers.
Under Dan Pyers, registered user.
And tell people himself. So, how do you spell, say this, Gary?
El Guapo?
Elginio.
Elginio. Oh. He is not happy with Chad Jackson.
I'm not happy with him either.
Shock. He said, so now the
plus he blew me off today in the locker room.
Oh, he did. How did that go down? Just a quick one.
Well, he usually blows everyone off.
Chad got a minute?
And he kept walking, and
Tomasi
was
blatant disrespect.
Tomasi was there. Well, he turned around, but he kept walking as he turned around. And Tomasi said something about, you know, with Gabriel gone, you know, was that mean your role would be bigger or something? And he opened the door to the trainer's room and turned and was like shaking his head. We'll see. And he just kept going. He like never stopped to give anybody the time of day.
You know what happened to the last wide receiver who blew off PFW? Got cut yesterday.
You know, I love Doug.
Doug Gabriel blew me off, and I wish nothing but bad things upon him.
Andy Hart doesn't keep quiet in the press conferences. The next guy to go is going to be Andy Hart.
It's true.
God, we could probably avoid that topic.
Okay, so he's not happy. He said, now the Pats have released Doug Gabriel. Well, if the Raiders didn't want him, he couldn't be that good, right? But at the very least, the guy made a handful of plays in the first half of the season. It's not like the Pats are the 99 Rams with great wideouts all over the roster. They already had limited options at the position. If they are already working on bringing in somebody else to replace him, fine. But otherwise, why release him? Was he that bad? Did he yell at Belichick or do something stupid?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. Something doesn't add up with this one.
There's something there.
There's something.
Yeah. One of those questions you want to ask, that one of those list of questions of possibilities, one of those is true.
Yes, I agree.
Just don't know which one.
Right.
The guy at least was a bigger receiver who can run a fly route, something Chad Jackson can't even do right now. What are they going to do? Sign Bam Childress off the practice squad again? Ah, yes, that will help tremendously. The Pats have screwed up this position since the beginning of the offseason and appear to still be trying to figure it out.
Well, I agree. I think they've mismanaged the situation, and there's not a lot you can say about it that we haven't already said. I mean, I think we all agree that they probably felt the Branch situation was going to end differently, and it didn't. And when it didn't, it left them in a tough spot, and now you're seeing the aftermath of that.
And by the way, they signed Kelvin Kite off the practice squad first.
Right. So,
but Bam Childress might not be far behind.
So we're still at 52.
Kevin Casper.
Correct, right?
With all the moves they've made this week,
because all the moves have been practiced.
Plus, we never know where Mean Gene is. We don't know.
Yeah, where is Mean Gene? Is he on the roster?
How many guys were they short of the
practice? Gene Somkowski and his brother Scott Somkowski.
That was pretty funny that day.
Practice squad, they added, three guys in the last 2 days?
Yes, three guys.
Well, about how many? I didn't realize they had that many. Well, they let one go.
Well, Kite went to the roster. They cut.
Oh, and Span. So that's three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Span and Kite went from the practice squad to the roster, and they cut James Patrick.
Man, these are just, and you know what?
That left them three spots.
These are just bad football players.
Well, you know what you know, Andy. You know how we were talking about.
I know what I know.
Remember we were talking. We were talking in the locker room about, you know, you could try to stump a big Patriots fan with a member of the active roster. Take it a step further, and you go. Practice squad or no practice squad?
Well, see, the game, it was a Christmas party game, and the game lost its fun when I stumped the guy on the very first guy I brought up and realized he wasn't quite the super fan he thought he was.
Oh, that sounds like one rowdy party, Andy.
Well, it was the party where a guy shoulder checked another guy and knocked him dead off his feet, decleated him on the dance floor.
And he's like, okay, I got one. How about I'll name a Patriot?
No, he brought it up to me. He said, name somebody. I forgot how it came, but he brought it up. I wasn't the loser.
Whoa,
he was.
Whoa. No more beer for me. I'm getting too crazy.
Full AIE got it done.
All right, Gary.
That was like today. Is Gene Merchkowski on the team?
Yeah.
Well, no one knows. Not even the PR department.
There's a shock.
He's in the locker room.
We had to tell the PR department they had a new tight end.
Right.
They didn't know. What a joke staff they are. We'll take two more emails, then we'll go to break.
All right.
Look at this guy setting it up already.
Josh in Jacksonville pretty much wants to know if we ever see Belichick wearing a suit. He has improved his wardrobe from the rags to polos. Maybe he will be going on to a suit next.
He said he'd consider it.
And we have seen him in a suit, but generally and on the plane.
It's not pretty.
And much like Fred Kirsch in a suit, well, yes. I haven't seen the new measured, tailored one yet. But
I'm sorry, but Belichick looks a lot better in a suit than Fred Kirsch does.
Probably. That's Paul Perillo, Fred, if you want to fire him. Tom's going to be an editor in a couple hours.
Yeah, well, according to this next email, I guess I will be. Oh, it's from Early Doucette. It's
Love Early
Russell
Doucette.
From the Charged Up OC. He said, hi, guys. Okay, I'm baffled by this logic. The Patriots are extremely thin at receiver, yet they release a receiver. This is almost approaching the joke days of the Sullivan and Kyam years.
Wow.
What a mess. Let's hope Wolfwerk is not out for long. They should have not released Keith Traylor from a couple years ago. Do they not foresee the need for depth and experience there? This team should go on roids like San Diego. Roids help you heal quick.
What makes you think they happen?
Evidenced by the fact that no one in San Diego is hurt. Trust me, it would be nauseating if the Chargers win it all. Even worse than Indy. Looking to next year, because there's little to be encouraged about this year, Belichick and Pioli best open up the checkbook and pay for some impact talent. On a culinary note,
not often read on an SPFW email.
Never get any pizza from Regina's. That's not at the original location at 11.5 Thatcher Street in the North End. If you must go outside of that, the Regina Annex at Polcari's in Saugus is the next best one. Always enjoy this show, especially when Tom goes on his rants. Casale rules PFW, not Paul. Take care, guys. I threw in the not Paul.
I figured.
I figured you threw the whole thing in.
Every now and then I will. You gotta watch me.
Early is right on. I tend to go to the Polcari's annex, as he calls it, up in Saugus on Route 1.
Why are two okay and others not?
I actually make Beth do it on the way home from work.
Why are two okay and the other ones aren't?
I don't know. That's just the one I go to. I couldn't tell you how the other ones
are. And what is it, 10.5?
11.5.
I disagree with him, by the way. It doesn't matter where you go. There's one in Wellington Circle now. There's another one in Burlington. They're all good.
Oh, now see, if they're really expanding fast, then I think they're going to have problems. Yeah, I don't like that.
And food court Regina's is better than anything else anyway.
Where's that?
Burlington Mall and Haymarket.
Why does Gary know where every restaurant in the East Coast is?
Gary's a lot.
Gary's a cosmopolitan guy. He's in and around the city a lot.
I'm just curious. Why do you know where all these?
Because he's a nightlife kind of guy.
Tom.
When he's drunk at night, he needs to go get a slice of pizza at 2 a.m.
Oh, I see.
Hey, Fleming's delivered last night, by the way.
Okay.
Cold tea at Moon Villa. Ever have that?
No, but you can chalk up another rant on the tote board if you'd like.
A Regina pizza.
But that one was not started by us. And
on a culinary note.
Well, actually, it kind of was, because that was from yesterday.
Mercifully, we'll go to a break, and Paul Perillo will be heading out to do his other stuff on the lesser of the two shows that Andy and I are not on. But good luck, Paul, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Right. You're making my point.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford. Bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings. Family percentage yield of 0.5%.
The first thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me is finding a Christmas tree. The second thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
rigging up the lights
and finding a Christmas tree. The third thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
hangovers, rigging up the lights
and finding a Christmas tree. The fourth thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
sending Christmas cards,
hangovers,
rigging up the lights
and finding a Christmas tree.
Okay, well, as we do every Wednesday, we've lost the fat man and we're running lean. Paul is gone. Off to do his appearance on another show. It leaves Andy and I and a few emails. You guys, you want to chime in and talk about Doug Gabriel or anything else, it's webradio at patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482.
You know, I love Doug. Give us a call. I mean, Doug's just an awesome guy. So,
and one of the questions we've posed out there is, instead of just complaining about the offense and asking for Josh McDaniels to be fired, what would you do? What do you think can be done with this offense right now that lacks receivers, lacks big plays, kind of guys that can stretch the field, you know, is without Lawrence Maroney on time, doesn't have a consistent offensive line or running game? What is the alternative with what Josh McDaniels has to work with right now?
Yeah, because I don't want to get the emails to say, oh, stop being negative. We're not being negative. We're telling you what we see on a weekly basis. And right now, we don't have any answers for you. You know, we don't know what they're going to do offensively. They can't run the ball consistently, and their passing attack, when they throw a lot against aggressive teams, they get killed. So what would you do if you were this team right now heading into the playoffs? Because we don't have any answers. What do you got over there?
I don't know if this might qualify as a tangent, and we might up our number on the tote board.
Tom, I would have given it to you, but I know you would have yelled at me.
You're not going to like this. But we're, you know, a lot of Patriots fans are also Red Sox fans, and a source close to the negotiations confirmed to the Globe's Gordon Eads that the Red Sox contingent in Southern California is flying back to Boston with pitcher Daisuke Matsuzaka and his agent Scott Boris on board.
No disrespect to the Orioles.
Quote, you can assume that a deal is done or close, said another source with direct knowledge of the talks.
Just like Paul and I said on the bus coming home. Who's the guy who said there wouldn't be a deal done?
I don't know.
We were arguing with somebody. We knew it would be done the whole time.
Tony Maserati? He wasn't sure. He was questioning.
Right. That's right. And we thought that there would
I actually
be.
Thought there would be a chance that it might have to blow up to get it. I thought all along it would get done. I thought maybe there was a chance the player would fire the agent and say, I just want to play. Sign me to a contract.
You see, you know, my mind always goes to who can this possibly screw? And it can
the person it screws is the guy who just left here, because he's going to go to WEI, and all they're going to talk about now is
Dice
this.
K. Yeah. Four straight out.
There's going to be no Patriots talk whatsoever.
But does anyone want to talk football?
They won't have a. They won't even say the word Patriots, except when they introduce Paul. Paul from Patriots Football Weekly. That's the only time you'll hear it.
That's possible.
Because all the callers are calling about it.
Telegram and Gazette.
Oh, yeah, they're talking baseball. I mean, and I think they should.
Yeah, today.
It's Wednesday. The Patriots stink right now. They're going into a game that you'll learn nothing about. If they blow out the Texans, they should, whatever. And the Red Sox are making a move that one way or another is going to affect this team for potentially the next 6 or 8 years, because my guess is they're signing this guy to some ridiculous amount of money, meaning they've invested more than $100 million in him. So as a fan, this is going to affect this team for a long time, good or bad. Either he's going to be great and they have the best young pitching staff in baseball, or that contract is going to drag that team down.
Wait a second. So there's a team in the Boston area that spends money?
Yeah. But they're going to get criticized for the other, because they signed a shortstop for $36 million who's going to match that number in errors in a single season.
I'm consistent with Felger on this. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I never criticize for spending money and trying to win. See, that shows me you're trying to win. I know Patriot fans will say, well, this is our system and it's worked. But you know what? How many – say they don't win the Super Bowl this year. That's two.
I'll say that.
So, well, okay, it's the end of the season. They didn't win the Super Bowl. That's two. So how many years do you have to go before you lose early in the playoffs before you say to yourself, maybe we need to tweak our system a little bit?
Well, according to former talk radio show host Ted Sarandis, you get a five-year window for every championship you win where you can't be questioned. So, therefore, they have – a 15-year window from 2001. So in 2017, you can criticize them.
Well, I got news for Ted Sarandis. They lose this week, and they got about a 5-day window right now. Because if they lose against the Texans, if we get a positive email that whole week, I'll be shocked.
I don't get what's going on in your brain.
Of course, you notice I said former talk radio host.
Wow!
Who got 6% of the vote in the election he ran for.
Which is amazing right there.
Eight. Sorry, Gary. Gary gets offended if I don't give him credit for the full 8%.
Eight.
Mickey Mouse gets 8% for frickin' president.
Eight.
Okay, we got this guy didn't. Oh, Keith in Central Florida.
Well, this guy did. Oh,
well,
Keith,
no,
in Central Florida.
The subject. He put, hey, it's Keith from Central Florida. put it at the end of the email. Hey guys, great show. You may think it's early for these type of questions this time of year, but the Pats aren't playing smart Patriots football, i.e., poor execution, penalties, turnovers, and haven't been right all year. Now, I'm not giving up on them, but let's be realistic. They are looking at making it the second round of the playoffs at best. Which to me is very disappointing. So in order to make it back to the show, how would you prioritize the Pats' needs in order? Wide receiver, cornerback, linebacker, O-line?
I would say wide receiver. They don't have anything. The O-line at times has shown some things, but they're ridiculously inconsistent.
What if they lose Samuel?
Well, if they lose Samuel, yeah, they're in trouble. But I'm just saying, as constituted right now, I think the defense has played pretty well all year at different times. They've lacked big plays, lacked some playmaking, but I think you could get by with them. I think you could get by with the running game at times, but there are no receivers, none. It's the same argument. I feel like we've been saying this for like 6 months. There just aren't any.
And I agree with you, but there's one thing this team needs. They need that pass rusher again. They need to find some kind of pass rusher from the outside, because Vrabel's getting older. Colvin hasn't gotten the job done this year. Banta Kane is Banta Kane. They need that old, like McGinnis. They need someone like the special teams guy, Adalius Thomas, Lamar Woodley, or
Pro
the draft,
special teamer.
Somebody. Somebody to come in here and make an impact rushing the quarterback. And rookies can do it. You know, the one thing I should say is we always talk about how great the Patriots drafted. And if you look at some of these guys, Mark Anderson, Darrell Tapp, and just other positions that maybe they didn't draft so great to be, you know, they're going after tight ends while other teams are going after players that are making an impact.
Isn't what's his name in Cleveland having a good year? Isn't he like 8 sacks?
Yeah. Wembley's having a great year. Now, that's someone they couldn't have got because they took him too high. But
no, I know. I'm just saying there are impact guys every year. That's why I say, you know, they need to get one of those. It's become consistent now that you can get a guy at outside linebacker, pass rusher, 3-4 kind of guy who can come in and have an instant impact on your team. We've seen it every year for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and you know, Keith goes on to say there are some good players becoming free agents at the end of the season. Well, you know, we don't know that yet. They could still be franchised or signed. I'm hearing that Briggs might get franchised in Chicago. Right. And do you see them making any splashes like Lance Briggs, or will the Pats stick to their prototypical protocol, like signing all these no-name players that don't produce, like Monty Beisel, Chad Brown, etc.? I know they've had some success with this method, but it seems as of late they have had more misses than hits on drafting and free agency. And that's kind of true. I was thinking about doing a story on that, but I know we can't, about their free agents and trades lately, because for all the genius, it's been running dry. I mean, I would say other than Artrell Hawkins the last couple of years.
I don't even consider that.
But that was a pretty, I mean, he was a street guy who's come in.
Yeah, but he was.
He's not a Pro Bowler, but he's a guy that, you know, they were kind of like the Yankees that year when they were looking for pitching. They kept just.
But I think the difference with him is he was a pretty good player, an okay player, who was out of football because of a specific injury. He was rehabbing a torn hamstring. And I think they had a need at the same time that he sort of became healthy. So I think there was a little good fortune there. It's not like he was on the open market and five teams were competing for him.
Right,
and you know, it was sort of their need met his availability in the perfect little window there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you're going to go over everybody, that
right, no question,
he's one of the better hits.
But yeah, they've struggled of late trades. I mean, you can point to it now. This is two straight. That was last year, right? That they traded for Andre Davis, a fifth round pick, cut him. This year, same exact situation. Doug Gabriel made
third
a few
rounder,
more.
Dwayne Starks.
Dwayne Starks is an awful one. That just blew up money and picks. That one blew up in their face. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. But the last time you point to when they had a good offseason was when they signed Roosevelt Colvin, Rodney Harrison, and Tyrone Poole, I believe, in like a four-day span.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was Colvin was arguably the best linebacker on that market. They went after him, got him, although, to be fair, got him at a lower value because he chose to turn down money in places like Arizona. Mm-hmm. That was significantly more because he wanted to play on a decent team. Rodney Harrison, they got him. I don't know whether they paid a little bit more. I doubt it. He decided he wanted to be here. He was impressed with the sales pitch. Good decision on his part. I mean, he came in, he played, he won Super Bowls, that's fine. But it's been a while. And so it's not like they've never done it, but it's been a while since they've targeted an impact kind of free agent, went after him, and got him. There's been misses. Derek Mason, I mean, if we believe that story, they overpaid, and his wife basically said, I don't want to go to New England. And so he went there. Okay, so that's unfortunate, but I think that happens to every team, and you have to make sure you're in the running often enough so that every once in a while the wife says, yeah, I like New England.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's going to be misses for just every team has misses. But you need to be in it often enough and not just count on, well, this is the one time we're going to pursue a guy to try to help us. Oh, his wife didn't want to come here. We're screwed. You do it often enough, your hits will kind of balance out your misses.
And I agree, and I think if you break this team down objectively, not being a homer, just look at the team objectively, and defensive line and quarterback, you know, hey, okay, they're pretty good there. Other than that, they need help, and they need it in a lot of places, and they're getting older, and what you said is big. The people they've brought in to kind of cushion the blow of getting older has not worked out, and when that happens with teams, they get bad really, really quickly.
Right, because then all of a sudden you're trying to turn, you can't turn over four or five positions in 1 year. It's very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. The way you stay good is if, oh, we can turn over this one and maybe this one this year. Two years we do this one and kind of keep it cyclical. If you try to turn over, say, safety, cornerback, linebacker all in 1 year and add in an impact receiver, that's hard to do. You have to have a perfect offseason to do that.
And I think that's another thing about the Chad Jackson thing, because we kind of seen things from Maroney that say, okay, this guy's going to be around for a while.
Right.
Now next year he comes in, he's going to get more carries, we all know that. Now if Chad Jackson was kind of in the same category, you say, well, he's a rookie, but next year this Chad Jackson's going to be something, and we can't say that because
we haven't seen anything. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I kind of fell in the trap a month and a half, 2 months ago when they were winning football games of saying, you know what? Their future might look pretty good because they've re-signed their offensive line, the guys they wanted. They got Copen. They got that done. They drafted Chad Jackson, who we all know how much I loved him and thought how much of a great pick that was. You got a running back. Okay, well, now you got a couple first-round picks next year. Maybe you can get that corner. Now I'm starting to feel like some of the ways they invested in things that I thought were potentially set for the future aren't. And that's when you're in trouble. If Jackson misses, if the guys you signed on the O-line are not that good, Now you set yourself back.
And we're not even talking about another whole can of worms if Graham and Asante Samuel leave.
True.
Now we're talking about two impact players that are already here that you have to, you know, try to replace, and that's even more.
But so, that's for the offseason. Right now, yep. As Bill Belichick says, they're a 9-4 football team.
And there's
a lot of
Houston.
Teams that would like to be in that position, some that wouldn't.
Okay.
I thought he brought that up, but I might have been wrong.
Brian Fisk. From South Dakota, says, hey,
Pudge.
Hey, Tom and Andy, I was just wondering how the Bears-Patriots game turned out because I haven't gotten that issue of PFW yet. Did we win?
Good news. It was sloppy, but they got it done.
Any key injuries? All sarcasm aside, I was disgusted with the performance of the Patriots team in Miami. I honestly cannot think of a way to fix the offense, and maybe that's why Bill Belichick hasn't done anything either. Let's hope those two first-round picks are put to good use. Keep up the good work. By the way, whenever Tom is on the show, it's the A-team, even if Fred is around.
The A-team.
That's wrong. I agree with that.
Fred brings down any team he's on.
I can work with Fred. He's all right.
He's all right. He's fun. He makes me laugh. Except when he goes, we're out of emails.
Okay, Salt, whose last email was a lot shorter than this, from Orlando. I know that a loss is a loss, but I think that a loss is what the Patriots needed. Turnovers have been a big problem all season, not just the last 2 weeks. The Pats lost to the Colts by 7 points. After that, everyone I knew, including myself, said, well, it's okay. If we see them again in the playoffs, we can win if we don't turn it over like we did in the regular season. And lately, online and TV analysts have been saying, well, if the Patriots can beat the Bears despite all the turnovers, imagine what they can accomplish when they don't. Screw that. A loss is what the Patriots needed to snap them back into reality. Okay, well, now, Andy, you can go on with what you were going to say about snapping back into reality against the Lions.
I thought they had done that after the Lions game when everybody said they showed up and weren't ready to play and didn't feel the energy and maybe got away with one, escaped with one. They didn't clearly learn from that, and they went down and played and got outplayed in pretty much every aspect of the game in Miami. So, again, I think that's a little bit of grasping at straws.
Most disappointing part about that game that I think is being swept under the rug is they came off a home game where they were lucky,
right,
damn lucky, to beat the Detroit Lions. Now, we thought, all right, now that'll wake them up. You know,
I thought for sure they were going to go down there, play a crisp game, you know, physical, all the Patriot football kind of bounce back game. And they didn't on pretty much any level. And again, I sort of abstained from, you know, Ty Warren and Richard Seymour in that defensive front a little bit is kind of the one part of this team I'll say, you know what, you've played well enough from week one to week 14 to be a good football team. You're carrying your part of the load. The rest of the team, I can't say that about.
I agree. He says, like I said, I think that loss is what the Patriots needed to put things into perspective for them. If they are
but what's perspective? That they're just not that good? Because I have my doubts as, you know, I have my questions about this team that maybe that's just the case. They're just not that good.
Well, he says, if they are serious about their push to the title, they need to regroup and realize I cannot make some of the throws I used to because I don't have the same receivers. Tom isn't going to throw me the ball if I'm not open, and Tom cannot throw to the guys if the guys cannot run and if I don't block good enough, saying that everybody has to do their part. He said, sorry, I know you guys hate long emails, so I'll finish by saying, I bet the guys sit and reflect about what happened, have a good week in practice, and come out with a renewed fire to win. They might not be the Patriots of 2 years ago, but they will put their first foot forward and make the strides they need to better themselves before the playoffs. And that is Salt from Orlando.
Maybe. I thought that was going to happen this week. So, you know, maybe it's an extra week late. But again, I'm going to have my doubts. This week, just because I don't think the Texans are a very good football team. So.
Yeah, see, it's the last 2 weeks. I mean, I'll be happy if they come out and get an early lead and have the game in control most of the day. And, you know, that's one step forward. But the two steps are going to be Jacksonville. Because if they take a step forward this week and then get whooped in Jacksonville, to me, season's over.
Right.
Season's over. I don't care because now what are we going to say? Well, we got one game to pull it together. Nah, no good. Because you get whooped in Jacksonville, I got news for you. It's Vince Young upside your head. That's what you're going to get, and they'll lose that game too.
I actually don't think they'll get whooped in Jacksonville. I mean, they could if they play crappy. But I just think the matchup, I think they can stop the run. You know, the Wilfork thing aside, how they're playing, I think on most days they can stop the run pretty well and are not going to give up 250 yards rushing.
This is a tough, if Taylor can play, this is the running game that I think the Patriots wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got the guy to go between the tackles, then they got Jones-Drew who can squirt
electric
around.
Yep.
And the Patriots, I'm doing the matchups, and they do match up well with Jacksonville, but the one matchup they're going to have trouble with is their second leading receiver is Jones-Drew.
Right.
And there isn't a linebacker on this team
that will be
anywhere near him when he's in the open field.
Good news is the receivers stink.
Yeah, that's the big problem. Their receivers do stink.
And I'm not sold on the quarterback as well.
Well, as I put in the thing in our matchups that I'm doing is that they usually do a pretty good job taking away the run from quarterbacks and try to make them beat them with their arms. So
yeah,
that means Garrard's going to have to throw the ball. The receiver's going to have to hang on to the ball. So I agree with it. That, to me, is why it would be even more disappointing.
Right. If they get blown out down there,
I think they match up well with Jacksonville.
Right. Because that's not a San Diego where the weapons are just too much. You match up pretty well with them. And if you get killed, pack it up, pack it in.
Yep. Well, Josh T. from Arlington says, well, I guess Belichick may have heard my email on your show yesterday. Looks like I won't have to spend every Sunday puking next season. Get a haircut, and maybe you'll be able to get your huge head around to see the ball. Head move now. He's talking about Gabriel.
Right.
He says, great show yesterday. Any word on Maroney's back? We saw him in the locker room today. He was walking through, but that's about
it. Saw him in the locker room last week, too, so.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to read into that at all.
Okay, talk about something.
Okay, Rod Trafford's here, and apparently wearing number 85 because he had those sweatpants on, and I guess they didn't even, I wonder if they ripped them right off Doug Gabriel's legs as he was trying to walk out the door with them, because he's in the same locker. Trafford had his luggage in the locker, and then...
That didn't take long.
Yeah, no.
That was a quick transition.
Yep. Doug Gabriel era is officially over. It's kind of like Allen Iverson, where they peeled the nameplate off and cleaned out the locker.
Okay, TG and NJ is chimes in again. He said, okay, so the team gets rid of Gabriel, makes some practice squad moves. You can figure out the other word. Is this the preseason or postseason? While other contenders are hitting their stride right now, it seems the Patriots are still in team-building mode. No, sir, not going to make it. I'll drink the Kool-Aid, Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli, and after Bill Belichick's build-up of the Lions and Jason Taylor, and looking at the team's response, I'll even drink a second cup. But I really think they need to reevaluate their football philosophy and make adjustments to the so-called system themselves. I'm afraid they're going to have to show somebody, sometime, somewhere, the money. With the salary cap increasing as it is, you have to think that NFL players today who want to win will think that they can win without sacrificing their paychecks. Would it break the bank if they put a little increase in the overall value of players, a sort of value curve inflation? I don't know. As I've said it before, I believe in the system. I'm just trying to understand it. Dealing with a little upset stomach right now. Keep up the great PFWs. Or is it VFW, Vacuum Cleaner Weekly? Well, I think he brings up a couple of good points.
Well, what's the F in there?
Vacuum, VFW.
And he said Vacuum Cleaner Weekly.
Oh, maybe
VCW.
I think it was football.
Does this qualify football as a? Can we get this?
I probably
aside
said
rant?
It wrong. I was laughing. It was probably vacuum.
No. Not if the emailers can't create the rant.
Oh, okay. Just want to know the rules.
He did say VFW, Vacuum Cleaner Weekly. I think he brings up a couple of good points about the salary cap going up, and that makes other teams, more competitive. Plus, I think you can go to a lot of different teams and win now. I think you can go to Cincinnati and maybe have a chance to win a Super Bowl. I think you can go
to any team in the NFC.
Yeah. So it's
very interesting. Chris Mortensen on Mike Felger's show said he thinks there's going to be a lot of money thrown around this spring.
Yeah.
Kind of compared it to this winter with baseball. Just, you look at a guy, Gilmesh got $55 million. You could see some of those kind of scrolling across the wire in March, where you see a guy who's maybe not that good, but there's money out there, there's competition for services, teams have needs, and they have to overpay. And they have, the Patriots are projected, I saw the number, $31 million, and that only puts them 10th. On the projected cap space this spring, so I believe it was 10th. So there's going to be a lot of teams out there with $20, $30, $40 million to spend on players. So you could see bidding wars, and we've seen in the past the Patriots generally don't do well in bidding wars because they lose.
Right, and I think TJ makes a good point that maybe they need to change their philosophy a little bit. Because if they're going to keep not being in the mix for these players and, you know, competing for them, how are you going to get any better?
Well, I like the way TJ put it, that he believes in the system, but he's trying to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's some sound philosophical ideas in the system.
Right.
And I know they try to, they don't even really believe, I think, that they have a philosophy. It's they try to look at every, is this guy worth it? Should we go after this guy? How high should we go? Is it individual decisions? And I don't think Bill Belichick is going to say on March 1st, you know what, we need to go above and beyond this year and spend more money. But on some level, that's what they need to do. They mm-hmm. need to, or just change, maybe it's just as simple as change their number. Wherever they get the number in their little system, when they put the number crunches on it and say a safety is worth $3.78 million as a cap figure per season, maybe they need to say, you know what, how we come up with that number is a little bit flawed, and we need to look into that because the market has changed and there's more money out there, and we need to change with the market.
And I'll give you a story that I always use. And I'm not, trust me, the Cowboys scouting is not even close to the Patriots, so I'm not putting him in the same category. But they wanted Antoine Winfield the year he was a free agent, and they were going to wait a week for the bidding to stop. He signed the first day with Minnesota. There was no waiting.
Right.
Then they wanted Bertrand Berry. They tried to lowball him. Arizona got him, and they ended up with Marcellus Wiley.
Right.
And one of their player personnel guys who ended up leaving at the end of the year said, to be honest, we totally mismanaged the whole thing that year. We
right.
thought there was going to be like this, a tie, like there was going to be bids and all this. And he said, everything happened so fast, we got behind, and then we started chasing.
Right.
And
that's part of it. Your own philosophy aside, value, whatever, you also need to be able to read what the other 31 teams
exactly.
are going to do and
exactly.
how they're going to approach it.
And, you know, we were sitting here and everyone was like, well, all these teams are spending the money, but the Patriots will have it for the other player. What players?
What players, right.
What players?
Right. You need to read the market as well as your own cap and values and all that. You know, that you could see things also. That Winfield one was the one where they gave him the roster bonus or whatever it was, so it kept, they didn't have to spread the money when they signed him out over the life of the deal. They had a lot of cap money that year, gave him a roster bonus for that year, so he made like $14 million that year, but he was off the books the following year. He
yeah.
just had regular salaries. With all this money out there this year, you could see some of those deals where they're creative and, you know, sort of new ways to use $40 million.
And the Patriots have to be in the middle of that. And you
yes.
know what? And we'll say it right now so I don't have to hear it. I don't want to hear about June 1st. We
right.
said it last year. There is no more June 1st. It's not the old days where all these players used to be cut. There's
right.
a couple here and there, but if you're saving your $30, $40 million for June 1st, forget about it.
Plus, the bulk of the league is well under, so the only reason they're going to cut people is because they stink.
Right. And you'll get Eric Warfield. How's he doing?
Where is he?
Nowhere. He's not on a team.
He's got to be somewhere. He's got to exist.
I don't believe he's on a team right now. Alex chimes in. He says, hello, guys.
What's up?
Since you know the dark side of sports, what kind of shady agreement did the NFL have with the Texans that allowed Bush to play in New Orleans? I'm starting to buy into this whole conspiracy, let's make
nice.
New Orleans the happiest city in the NFL landscape, as Andy Hart first predicted many weeks ago.
I don't know what the deal was or how it played out, but I'm at times a conspiracy theorist, and I sort of believe that could have been a possibility.
Okay, well, we got a bunch of, there's a couple of things I want to get to here. This is Brady's press conference, which we were not at because we were doing other stuff. The last response, this is from John from Harper's Ferry. He said Brady made was, we don't listen to the coaches enough. We thought we could do it our way, and you can see we are very inconsistent. There is certainly an underlying story here also. That's what the guy, as inconsistent as where Brady ended. His quote was, we don't listen to the coaches enough. We thought we could do it our way, and you can see we are very inconsistent. So what do you have to say?
Gary, you want to run that?
Gary's got it.
His team has to listen to more what the coach says. You know, I think if we listened more and we did more of what our coaches told us to do, I think we'd be a lot better off. But at times, I think we figure we can do it our way, and we show that there's quite a bit of inconsistency to that. So just got to keep trying to pound away.
My reaction to that is that's a straight from the horse's mouth kind of thing, Belichick. I'm guessing he, at some point the last couple of days, chewed them out and said, you guys have tried to do it your own way, and look where it got you. You just went out and laid a stinker.
Yeah.
Maybe if you guys start listening to what we tell you more, that sort of thing, and I'm guessing Brady picked up some of that from something Belichick said to them. I obviously don't know specifics. I mean, we could speculate Doug Gabriel did something that wasn't, you know, or the offensive line, or it could be a million things, but my guess would be that that in some way is rooted in something Belichick said to them, because we see it every week that they come out and sort of regurgitate what he says to them.
Yeah, it's the one thing about the Patriots, it's, you know, my buddy called me. He's got Ben Watson on his fantasy team. And he's like, is he going to play? And I said, I have no idea, to be honest with you. And he's like, well, the Sporting News said, and I said, stop right there. I said, there ain't a person alive who's not named Belichick and Ben or Ben Watson who knows if he's going to play or not. So you can stop right there. Because when it comes to the Patriots, it's hard to get information. And what they say, it's hard to take anything from it because they're kind of prepared. They know what to say.
Right.
I actually think they have, they're like politicians. They have like speech writers in the back prepping them before they go out to the podium.
Well, there's no question. Bear, you know, Bill's assistant, Bears Najarian, has a role in that in preparing him for what he's going to hear, what he's going to be asked about, and how he wants to handle it. So
it's I mean, I know Fred likes to read between the lines, but it's tough to do with this team.
Yep.
We got a great email here. But Susan, first, she makes a great point.
Is this Sue in Budapest?
I think I see a New York floating around down there. No, Nyack, New York.
Nyack.
I looked at the playoff picture, and if the Pats beat Houston, then lose their last two games, and the Jets win out, the Jets are AFC East champs on the fourth tiebreaker conference record. I hope this happens. It's better entertainment value than a dismal playoff loss. You are correct. Paul Perillo figured that same thing out at the press conference. So if the Jets win out, and let's put it this way. If they beat Minnesota, it's a one-game season. They'll have to go to Miami and win because they're going to beat Oakland at home if they need to. If the Jets need to beat Oakland, listen, they're Oakland. Come on now. Let's not get crazy here.
I just don't think the Jets are that good. I think it's hard to just check off a win.
I can against Oakland. And you know why?
Now maybe if because they're fighting for a
because
division
Oakland's
going
to have their golf clubs packed in the car,
maybe.
Ready to go home. It's going to be in New York, freezing cold. You think the Raiders are going to put up much of a fight there? I just don't see it. She says, also, you should read Behind the Scenes with Chad Jackson on Patriots.com. There are some good quotes. Sample. Question. If you were playing in a basketball tournament and the game was on the line, what teammate would you least like to take the last shot? Answer. Tom Brady. He has no game. Way to suck up to your quarterback, Chad. He also says his favorite pizza topping is Italian sausage and pineapple, and that he's afraid of the dark, and that he's also afraid of the football. No, I added
that.
P.S., and this is the best part. Get ready.
Okay.
Is Jared Puffer a real person or just a pseudonym used by the PR department for puff pieces?
He is a real person.
Well, we think he is. We haven't seen him do anything yet, but
he doesn't have much of a pulse.
Does that one make the wall, Tom?
Yeah, that's a great one. No, he is a real person.
Unfortunately.
PJ chimes in. You're going to love the PS on here, too. Yo, fellas, what's up? I'm still reeling from that terrible loss last week. What do you guys think is the best matchup, if there is one, for the Pats in the playoffs? I'm not very confident going into the playoffs, and as a fan, I'm just hoping that the Pats can win one or two games with a great scheme from Belichick and a great game from Brady. The one thing that the Pats have seemed to do pretty well this year is stop the run, and maybe they can jump up and bite a team like Baltimore or San Diego. No comments from Andy, as I don't expect to shut down LaDainian Tomlinson, but if you can hold him in check, which has been done before, we don't know what a guy like Phillip Rivers will be like in the playoffs.
That's true.
Yo, Paisano, do you think the Eagles will make the playoffs this year? I do not. They can realistically make it at 8-8, which is ridiculous. That puts the Patriots situation in perspective. Teams are fighting for the playoffs at a 500 record in a terrible NFC, and the Pats have a 9-4 record in the better AFC. Anyway, great show. P.S. Put one more on the board for John Rook. And Tom, please, please don't allow Fred to talk about Christmas gifts on Friday.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. Well, he should be well fueled up after an entire day of shopping.
Oh, yeah.
He'll have plenty to talk about. The matchup, I'd say host the Jaguars is your best matchup.
Yeah, I agree. I think they match up. Basically, what I'm writing in the matchups is the Jacksonville is a better Minnesota. meaning they're big up front, they stuff the run, they have a better secondary, more physical secondary than Minnesota, but you can spread them out. Now, granted, you're going to say spread them out with Watt. That, I don't have an answer for that. If Watson is out, that's a huge injury if Watson can't play. But if he can, you spread them out, you throw the passes. I think their defense matches up well with Jacksonville, like Andy already brought up. The one guy that can hurt them, Jones-Drew, not only special teams, but out of the backfield. So I agree with you. I say Jacksonville. See, I don't like the Jets, even though I think the Jets are the least talented team, because I've always hated in the playoffs playing a team that you know, like a division team, because you know them so well that the Jets know the Patriots as well as the Patriots know the Jets, and things get fishy there. So I wouldn't want the Jets, because I think they have confidence, too, now that they've already beaten the Patriots.
Especially if they're in the postseason. They'll be playing well if they're there. So is it possible that we could go to the Jets for a playoff game?
You're dadgum right it is.
Wow. Wow.
And if they lose that, I agree with you. Get the shoestrings.
Can you imagine if he lost to Eric Mangini in New York? No, first of all, if he lost the division.
And then a playoff game. Now, I'm assuming no movie on the plane ride home.
I think that's a fair assumption. Probably no Andy on the plane ride home.
Gabe chimes in about the suits. He says, hey, guys, to carry that previous emailer suit theme, what do you guys think about what Goodall said on NFL.com? Goodall...
I hope the quote's there.
Yeah, it is. Goodall likes the look of coaches Mike Nolan of San Francisco and Jack Del Rio of Jacksonville, who wear suits on the sidelines. I love it. I think it's great, he said. It reflects well on the coaches and reflects well on the National Football League. Our coaches are a very important reflection of the NFL. I think the more impressive they look, the better it reflects on us. So would Belichick wear a suit now after hearing that, or would he wear a suit and cut the sleeves half off?
That's caught on like bell-bottom pants.
He probably would have wore a suit, but now that he's heard that, he probably won't, would be my guess.
I think it's interesting that the owner says, you know, it reflects, well, you're the ones who made the rules that they couldn't wear suits because they had to wear sideline apparel. So it's not like it was a trend that coaches went to on their own, oh, I'm going to wear a hooded sweatshirt. Some of them, yeah, but you made it so that they weren't allowed to wear suits. They had to wear team apparel. So, and the other thing is they haven't changed it back yet. They let Nolan and Del Rio do it for a two-game window.
Yeah.
You haven't even opened up the rule to allow coaches to wear suits if they want to. But the fact is Belichick said he would consider it. Yep. That's all we can go by.
And he sends in another email. He said, the skinny on the pitcher contract is Red Sox want 6 years, $8 million, and the Japanese contingent wants 6 years, $11 million. So they try to come with a figure in between. The years are agreed. Got this from ESPN this morning on a talk radio program. He says, P.S., as far as the offense is concerned, I would try different line formations. Use a halfback as well as a fullback in the backfield. Run more five wides and not always on third down. Try a three tight end sets, more screens. Just mix it up, man. Two vanilla.
Five wide, name them.
They only have four. I guess that means a tight end.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's one theory. If you don't do anything well, you have to be very multiple and do a lot of formations, and just try to confuse people more than beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a legitimate theory, and maybe we'll see more of that moving forward, especially if, say, Maroney and Watson are out, if you're playing without...
I'll tell you what, I know Houston stinks, but can you imagine lining up without Wilfork, Watson, and Maroney next week?
Won't be quite the pushover we projected, and all of a sudden Fred Kirsch will be saying, I told you they were tough.
I mean, that is not a talented football team if you take those three players away. I mean, those are three of their top players.
Yep.
So hopefully at least two of those guys will be on the field. Brian from Colorado says, what chances is there of pulling off a trade with the Bears for Mark Bradley next year? They seem to have good depth at receiver with Muhammad, Rashid Davis, Berrien, and Bradley. Would the Bears give him up for a second or third round pick? This is a team that they have made trades with in the past. I would say no.
Well, the only reason I would say I would always leave a window of chance with the Bears is because of a very strong relationship between this organization and that organization, and especially Bill Belichick and Jerry Angelo. They've made deals in the past.
I would just say no on Bradley.
Well,
you know, I think they love him.
They might, but I would just say it's definitely one of those organizations where there's an open line of communication and work. So maybe. I haven't seen much from Bradley. All I know is I just saw Dan Klecko in the background, inactive in a Colts game.
Dan Klecko, Temple University.
All I saw the other night was when Rex Grossman read blitz and Bradley didn't. And he was running about 20 yards downfield, and Grossman threw the ball on his second step, and there was a little bit of questioning each other going on.
I take it back. It sounds like he'll fit right in here.
Yeah, but I would always keep – they're a possible trade partner. We've seen it in the past. We could see it again. Who knows?
Okay. Well, Phil from Austin, what I would do on offense – I would play two tight ends plus Heath Evans and Maroney slash Dillon all the time. Why play two or three wideouts when they all stink? Skippy runs to set up the pass. They ought to run to set up more runs.
Skippy? I just got that.
Play to avoid turnovers. Keep the score down and win with defense. If the punter on the practice squad can't pump better than Ken Walter, then he's stealing $4,000 a week or whatever practice squad players get. Colvin's cap number may be too high next year for a player with his production. What do you think the Patriots should do with him next year? I can't wait for the season to end.
Wow. Can't wait for the season to... Well, as far as the punter goes, you'll get an update from Danny Bogger from Tom Casale of Patriots Football Weekly this coming week.
Not a very good one, because you could tell Danny Bogger has not been interviewed often because he's a little uncomfortable, you know, and plus being here, I think he doesn't want to say the wrong thing. I mean, he gave me enough for my story, but you're not going to get more in-depth on Danny Bogger.
And maybe Danny Bogger thinks he's stealing that $4,700 a week and doesn't want to do anything to disrupt that. Plus, as I said before, he's short. And I really – when's the last time you saw a short punter? He just seems significantly short to me.
Tiny.
Is he like 5'10", 5'9"?
Oh, I'm taller than he is.
So like 5'8", 5'9", somewhere in there. I don't know why, but I have trouble envisioning that. And as far as Colvin goes, yeah, he has not had the year that I thought he might have.
No, he started off, looked like he was going to have a huge year, and then...
Hasn't done much since. I mean, I know he's got six and a half sacks, but...
Yeah, I don't look at...
Kind of cheap
They get some garbage time sacks. This team gets some... When they were up big in Cincinnati, they got some sacks. When they were up big in Buffalo, they got some sacks.
Plus, I look at it, he's got 24 quarterback hits. I just must have missed like 22 of them. And he has 6.5 sacks. I think he's tied with Warren for the team lead. Warren's a guy where I go, now he's had a great year. He's had a better year probably than 6.5 sacks and 90 tackles.
I agree.
With Colvin, I go the other way and say, I don't think he's had a 6.5 sack year. So, if he's going to be a decision, he does have, I don't know the number, but he has a jump in cap number. But again, when you're 30-something million under the cap, you certainly... Unless you draft a couple, I don't see how you can afford to let him go. You don't have anybody. Tully Vanacane is not ready to play.
Mark it down. That's the biggest weakness that they're going to have is that pass rushing position. Vrabel wasn't doing much when he was there. Colvin isn't doing much. Vanacane's gotten the chance that everybody wanted him to get. He's starting. I haven't heard his name once.
Remember that point counterpoint in training camp?
Yeah, it's funny how Andy remembers the ones he wins.
No, not all of them. I remember some of the ones I lose. I've told you a million times that. In 2003, I said they should prepare for the draft when they were, 2-2. And they won 21 straight games after that.
Okay, Jeff C. from Denton, Texas. Denton, that's where, I believe, North Texas, the University of North Texas, in Denton, Texas, I believe.
Here, little known fact.
Here is my plan to fix, it sounded familiar to me for some reason, and I think that's why.
Because you're a loser.
Here is my plan to fix the offense. We'll get Superman to fly around the planet really, really fast. And
like
turn
the
back
movie!
Time to this past offseason. Then the Pats can give Branch the money he wanted and draft Marcus Colston instead of Jeremy Mincy. We'll call that Operation Mulligan. So who knows? Superman, and how can we get in touch with him? We need to get this plan in motion ASAP. P.S. Can I get Tom I Like Talent Casale's opinion on Adrian Peterson? He's a machine.
Tremendous.
He's a machine. There's there's a lot of good running backs that came in this year, but they're more of your Bushes, your Jones, Drew, your Adais. They're more your all-purpose backs where they can do a lot of different things. When you're talking pure running back, they're not in the class with Adrian Peterson. The guy is an absolute machine.
Is he going to play in the bowl?
I
saw where
he
got cleared, right, to play?
There's a chance he could play, yeah.
I mean, I guess you just play. If the doctor says you can play, but...
I'm not even mad. I mean, that's amazing.
He's got $15 million on the table that he could jeopardize.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'd probably play because I would probably trust the doctor to say, I'm 100% healthy.
And, well, you know what the other thing is, too, is they're playing Boise State, who he can run over.
Right.
So he can rack up about 250.
200, yeah.
And then that's the last thing, like the Vince Young, the last thing everybody remembers. And, you know, you're talking maybe first pick in the draft if someone trades up to get him.
What do you mean, a 40-yard touchdown run in overtime to carry your team to victory?
That guy's a machine. Boy, that poor. Can you imagine being a Texans fan? You had two of them. You could have, I mean, either one. They'd be happier than hell with either one of them. And that poor Mario Williams, he's probably the nicest guy in the world. And, you know, it's like Richard Justice said at the Houston Chronicle. The guy's fighting through a foot injury. He's playing hurt. He's tough. But you know what? Nobody cares.
Right.
And I forgot to tell you a funny line. After Bush's run against the Cowboys, they kick the extra point before they go to break. Al Michaels goes, and this has to have Texans fans thinking, what in the hell was our team doing at the draft?
Speaking of not caring, Mario Williams' conference call will be on Patriots Playbook today.
Oh, okay. Well,
sure, there'll be no Reggie Bush quotations in there.
Yeah. Well, if Breer's there, I'm sure they're gonna get it.
Hey, Mario. Yeah. Just wondering what you thought about Reg.
Jack, or Jay, as he puts. Hi, guys. Last year, well, Jay with just the letter J. Last year, Ben Watson couldn't drop a ball. This year it seems like he can't catch one. Maybe I expected too much based on last year's performance, but he has been a disappointment this year. Could the reason for Gabriel's release be this? Wolfork or Maroney is hurt, and they needed to free up a roster spot? Just a scenario, but possible. So what do you think about Watson and that?
Well, I think Watson, we've talked about his hands in ball security. His hands more in the past. This year, it's been as much about fumbling after catching the ball as it has not catching it. But yeah, both tight ends, it's been a long running story around here for the past 5 years with tight ends that are drafted high and have yet to be able to really live up to the hype. I feel bad for him on one level. Disregard the fumbles. That's an issue, inexcusable, whatever. I think he's had a pretty good year in terms of production because I thought the projections were unrealistic. People thought he was just going to carry the passing game. I mean, 50 catches from a tight end.
That's good.
Not bad.
That's good.
I'll take it. Unfortunately, we don't, you know, if that was third on the list of Patriots receptions where you had your two top receivers with 80 and 70 and then 50 from a tight end, that's a pretty good passing game. Unfortunately, the 50 catches is atop the list and it's a tight end and then you add in the fumbles. It just hasn't played out how a lot of people, I think, projected it to.
Yeah, and he goes on. He wants to know what happened to Gabriel. He said, did he hit on Brady's girlfriend? What happened? I'm a diehard fan, but having trouble seeing with the play calling lately. It's obvious that something is wrong, but it's too difficult to pinpoint it. I hope they wake up quickly. Rodney, come back.
I agree with something wrong, but I just feel like it's a tough situation for Josh McDaniels. I also, you know, I kind of feel like it's the other. Last year, people were ripping Mangini early in the year when he was playing without Richard Seymour, Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison. And whoever else was hurt, all his corners were on IR. You know, that's a tough situation. Now Dean Pease is doing a pretty good job in his first year, right? Well, he's had pretty much all his players. I know Harrison went down, but he's had a lot of guys healthy. He's played with his entire front for the most part. So I think it's a tough situation for McDaniels. Yeah, it's nice for him to say early in the spring, well, we're going to have a lot of multiple tight end sets. Look at, you know, we're going to have fun with these tight ends. Well, you know, he probably thought he was going to have Deion Branch on the field and, he doesn't. He doesn't have anyone that can be a number one receiver on any level. The offensive line has been inconsistent. That just doesn't fall on him. So there's a lot at play there. I don't know that we've seen the true best of what Josh McDaniels to do. He's not Charlie Weiss. I think Charlie Weiss would be struggling with this offense right now. And Charlie Weiss had the benefit of however many 15 years in the NFL to build off.
Charlie Weiss did struggle here for some time when people wanted him out.
So I just think it's totally, you know, maybe McDaniels hasn't done the best job, but that's certainly not the top of the list of the problems in my mind.
Okay, well, we'll go to one more email and then take a break. We got Ed from New York City. What's up, fellas?
Eddie!
Quick question. It's obvious that the Pats are tight-lipped with it when it comes to getting info on the team, from Belichick to the players. Which team or players would you say is the most open, and would you say being open could be detrimental to a team?
I don't really know. I mean, We cover the Patriots, and I know there's a lot of other teams that open their press conferences in the opposing view with, you know, injury updates and the trainer and all that. But I don't know which team is necessarily the most open.
I know that the Herm Edwards, him and his players are usually pretty open. I will say it doesn't hurt, because I can tell you this right now. That old Cowboys team, the national media used to follow them around the country because they used to hold court after
right.
every game, and it didn't bother them at all. I think there's certain ways to run a football team, and I think, you know, Dick Vermeil. I mean, his mm-hmm. his teams were always open, and they won a Super Bowl. I think you can go both ways. You can look at some teams won the Super Bowl, and they went with Belichick's theory, and other teams didn't. You know what I think wins? Talent.
I was going to say, it's sort of like a lot of other things. If you win, well, then being open is the right way.
Right.
And if you lose, oh, you shouldn't have been open. You know, it goes with the wins and losses. You know, the Patriots, who's to say they couldn't have been more open and won three Super Bowls in 4 years, and that would have been fine, too.
It's just Belichick's way. That's
he
way
believes
he,
that it gives him an advantage.
Yes.
I'm not sure it necessarily does.
No, I agree. All right, well, we'll come back and finish up the show after this break. Down to one email.
Let's go!
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Oh,
Pepsi. It's the cola.
Number 9-4. I think there's a lot of teams that like to have that record. And there's some that wouldn't. There's just quite a few that would. So, we'll be judged on the body of work.
Okay, well, Gary, showing that Bill Belichick is indeed a liar.
That's Tom Casale, Patriots Football Weekly.
Well, he said he didn't say it. He did say it. There it is. We got the audio. So,
I never said that.
I didn't ask the question. You did.
No, but you just called him a liar.
Well, no, he said he didn't say it. I don't know what to tell you. It's
actually,
right there.
Technically, if we're going to, he said, did I say that? Did I bring that up? He asks every question with a question.
No, he said, I didn't say that. He said, I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, at least I made it through the show. I was going to make an announcement at the beginning that if my voice disappeared mid-sentence, it was because I was dragged out of here by one of Belichick's henchmen.
There's a good chance that Andy doesn't have a computer when we get back upstairs. So
I could get the Eric Mangini treatment. Type in that password, yeah. And it'll say, what?
Okay, we have an email. It's from Henry Lopez from San Antonio, Texas. He said, hey, guys.
Is he a new emailer? I don't remember that name.
I don't remember him either. He said, hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Well, I just read that the Pats had two more tight ends practicing yesterday, Walter Rasby and Lamont Hall, looking like Mr. Watson's injury may be serious. And what are your thoughts on Ken Walter? I noticed that he hasn't done very well on his punts, especially this past Sunday. Keep up the good work. Love the show.
Boy, Tom Casale holding off a cough or a burp or something there at the end of that sentence.
Stupid pretzels that I ate.
Ken Walter has been what Ken Walter has always been, except for the end of 2001. He had a very good season, ridiculous season, actually, where basically every time he kicked it, it was down inside the 20. Tremendous year with net average the end of that season. Since then, he's been consistently, how should I put this, bad. He kicks the ball short. Sometimes it's high enough so that, I guess it's an okay field position type game, but I just don't think he gets the job done. And I think one of our Ask PFW people put it best when they coined him Ken Cringe Walter, because literally I think from the time Paxton snaps it back, you cringe to see where the ball's going to go when it leaves his foot, because he's just not that good. But according to Bill Belichick, he's a very good holder, and that's what matters.
And according to Danny Bogger, he holds as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before on the show, I've always thought holding was something that a lot of people are capable of doing. Punting, not so much. Long snapping, not so much. But I just don't remember people who stunk as holders. If you make it out there, you're usually okay. And I think Danny Bogger, Matt Cassel, athletes, I think, generally make pretty good holders. Heck, put Kevin Falk or Troy Brown, add another job to his list. I'm sure he could do it. So I think Bill's kind of the devil you know approach with Walter. He knows what he can do, even when he's bad. Yeah, even when he's bad, he knows what Ken Walter's going to do for him. He's won with it, so he figures, I can overcome it again, I guess.
And I'm trying to do a Pulse story on how Walter stinks, but he's not. According to Jared, he doesn't come in the locker room
until
Friday. So I guess I won't be getting quotes from him, but I can still use the numbers.
And the numbers don't lie.
No, they do not. Not in this case. It's web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Still got a few minutes to go. What do you think Fred Kirsch is doing right now?
Sitting on his couch. I'm saying he just wanted a day off and Christmas shopping was an excuse.
I have to agree. I just can't see Fred spending all day Christmas shopping.
That really bothers me that some asshole...
Yeah, I mean, for those of you that don't know Fred...
Wait, aren't you not supposed to play the actual swear game?
Sorry, I played the wrong one.
Jeez, isn't there supposed to be a beep? That really bothers me that some asshole...
God! For those of you that don't know Fred, he doesn't have a very long attention span.
No.
And he likes to go from one thing to another. So for him to be shopping all day, I'm just not buying it. I'm sure he's home listening to this show right now, seeing what we're talking about.
Maybe getting phone calls about me.
Andy's red light is probably on upstairs.
I hope not. I'm really dreading looking in my email box is where I'm dreading it looking.
I don't understand why he can't ask that question.
I don't understand either.
I just don't get it. You know, this obviously we're out of emails here because we're just rambling now for the last couple of minutes. Where the hell's Rook?
Is he not coming in today?
No, he should be here.
Geez, you know, The guy comes in and bothers us every stinking day. Then you finally need him, and where is he?
Well, to be fair, Fred cut him off yesterday when we were in a nice little crossover. Fred goes, all right, and that's going to be John Rich over there. Just kept going, so.
That's what I mean. Fred changes things awful quickly. I just, he's not doing no Christmas shopping. I mean, he might have went down to the store and picked up, something, but.
Maybe he's getting our movie gift certificates.
I'm waiting for the day where you explode on some mother.
Wow. I don't know what that is.
Fred's got a lot of those that you don't really know what they mean.
Yeah.
None of it good.
Where's the one that he says where he's reading the email from me or where you got him saying something about where I was talking about personal training and you got Fred saying it because he was reading something?
Well, banging 19-year-old hot girl.
Fred needs to stay away from that sort of discussion.
This one's funny.
I believe I deleted it.
Oh, come on. That's
what
a good one.
Jerk.
Now you got Tom Casale.
Here is that the dynasty is over, and I remember the day.
You're skipping.
Yeah, well, we can't.
2 years ago, I was banging 19-year-old blonde girls.
Fred Kirsch, banging 90.
Yeah, John Rook, come right on in.
Hey. We ran out of emails. The pacing was poor on this show. Tom Casale, with 5 minutes left, just ran out. Pacing was poor.
I deleted a couple of them.
Nice job. Plus,
on accident.
Plus, you shortened a bunch of them. That's how Fred gets by. He reads every word of every email, even if it's 10 pages long.
What are you going to do?
You haven't learned the art of show pacing yet, huh, Tom?
I'm guessing that's an art you learn when you're down here by yourself.
I try to get through them all because I think if you write in, you want to get heard.
Well, you know what?
Air.
That brings up a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of the things I always try to do. Well, in the show is that if anybody's going to take the time to write in, you always want to try to make the time
right.
to read their, or at least consider their questions. So I always tell those who listen, say, look, we may not get every email on the program. We try. We
right.
really do. But I can guarantee you we read all of them.
Yep.
We absolutely read all of them.
Yep.
So if you think that your email or you don't want to email because nobody will pay attention, you're wrong because we do read them all.
Right. Plus, sometimes it's hard to pace properly. You either end up with 10 of them left that you didn't get a chance to get to or you run out with
Tom,
6 minutes
next time
to
you
go.
Next time you go through the batch of emails, though, okay, if you are beginning to run through really quick, do this to Andy. Okay?
Stretch.
It's called stretch.
Give
him one of those.
Just me, though, because you give Fred hand signs, and he has no idea what they mean.
What's that mean? That's what I'll say. I try to get to the emails because, unlike Andy, I respect the fans.
Oh, boy. This is Tom's shtick. He'll rip the fans for an hour and 55 minutes, but he wants to leave them thinking that he loves them, and he's one of them.
I didn't rip anybody. Anybody calling me out?
John, there's a lot going on.
What's going on today, fellas?
Well, Doug Gabriel, gone.
Yes, we knew that.
We got three practice squad additions.
Right.
Rod Trafford is one of the guys
Trafford
who's back.
Practice squad?
Yep. Gene Merchkowski seems like he's back on the active roster.
How much is he going back and forth this year? Merchkowski's at least been...
This is like
he was
the
here,
fifth
gone,
time
here,
or something.
Gone, and I think he's back for like a third time.
Right, but he's hardly ever on the game day roster.
Right.
It's like he's here for Tuesday to Saturday, and then they cut him and pick him up again next Tuesday.
So has the tenor of the Doug Gabriel thing been a surprise for most people? What about you guys in particular? What do you think?
I'm mildly surprised
that he's cut, yeah.
But it leaves us with what we've sort of said since he didn't play after the fumble is there's something there. Something happened.
Has to be.
Something that, there's a story.
Why else would you cut from a position that
right.
is a position where you have struggled?
No question. And for a time, he was your go-to guy for a two or three-game stretch.
So, they were either really pissed off at him for something, and I don't know if that fumble is really fair to say, because everybody has contributed that mightily over the last month.
It's got
to
be more than that.
It's
got
to
be something
behind the scenes, off the field, that was said, done, exchanged,
I say he said something to Belichick. That's what I think.
You think he said something to him?
I think maybe Belichick said something about the fumble, and he said something back. And since that time, he's been in the doghouse. And then I think it got worse. Maybe Paul said maybe he asked to be released. And
well, then let me ask you this from a pure football point of view. Isn't that sort of like cutting off your nose to spite your face if the guy can actually help you? Aren't you supposed to have the best interest of the football team?
Well, but best interest doesn't necessarily mean just production. It could mean this guy was dragging other people down or he was a poor influence. Gary played a Tom Brady cut where he said, we need to start listening to our coaches more. We thought we could do it on our own, and it hasn't worked. So... there's a lot of stuff at play there when you're a, let's face it, mediocre football team right now. And it's not just go out there and dominate everybody. They're not good enough to get by with maybe a guy in the locker room dragging other guys down or questioning the authority. So I think in the best interest, a football team can say, You know what? Kelvin Kite's been on the practice squad all year, worked as hard as anyone. He's, you know, a step below Doug Gabriel, who is whining and moaning and doesn't fit in here. So we'll give him a chance, and maybe that's the sort of thing that breeds you know, a swell of goodwill in the rest of the team.
I'll buy that.
Something like that.
But your point, John, where it could hurt him is teams that they're going up against, maybe San Diego or the Colts, who don't have great, you know, the Colts have great receivers, but they have no depth at the position.
Right.
Maybe they sign him. You know, maybe the Jets. Just
I think that would be a wise pickup for someone who the Patriots might potentially play in the playoffs.
And then Doug Gabriel can walk across the field and say, so we meet again.
Yeah. I think that's a wise move.
It's plausible. I mean, Colts would be, Brandon Stokley goes down. I know they signed Ricky Prohl, but they don't have depth there. And Doug Gabriel is a month removed from making big plays in this league. So I think it's plausible you could see him end up on one of those teams that could use a receiver.
Sure. So. What are you guys also making of the Dolphins' claims that they, you know, basically read Brady's signals before he called them out, his protections, and then based on his calls at the line of scrimmage? Because I sense now, in having had another day to kind of consider this and seen some of the blogs that are out there and other things that are going on, that it really makes no sense to me why the Dolphins players would want to brag about this. Because they've done is they've absolutely lost every stinking advantage they've ever had over the Patriots for future games.
That's the dumb part. And Steve Sidwell said that. That's just stupid to be bragging about it. And I agree with him. If you know it, put it in your back pocket, and you have it there.
I mean, I realize that this is a rivalry, okay? And I realize that, and you brought this up yesterday, the fact that the Doug Flutie dropkick might have just sat in their craw for a while.
I don't think I brought that up.
Who brought that up?
It was me.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
B-Lo.
Was it B-Lo? Did he bring that up, too?
He just goes, it was me.
Now I don't buy it.
Somebody I talked to yesterday brought that up.
Well, Zach Thomas brought it up after the game. Zach Thomas said, I believe it was Zach Thomas said, the only thing I'm upset about is we didn't get the chance to drop kick like they did on us last year. So, you know, that there is underlying emotion in these games.
I was in that locker room after the game, and you could tell that they wanted that win. That was their Super Bowl. They wanted that one bad.
Right.
And they were crowing quite a bit about it.
So then I would also tend to believe then, along those lines, because of the crowing, as you put it, Tom, I would tend to believe that maybe a couple of those guys, being emotional as they are, might have let it slip that, you know what, we bamboozled the bamboozlers.
Could be. But the issue, you know, I don't think it's a huge deal if we believe Nick Saban and they got it from TV tape. If we believe that and they got, that's fine. Okay, that's, you did some work.
You did some homework. Give them credit.
Now, if they purchased it, my first question is, well, where do you get something like that? And I think the obvious line of thinking is NFL Films.
Mm-hmm.
Because NFL Films is the one that has all that footage
and all of it.
All the audio on the field. The bigger issue is not Patriots Dolphins. It's, why do you have somebody in NFL Films selling something
to you
that gives an advantage to one team? Or NFL Films
is
supposed to be the league.
That not everybody has
now,
rights to.
If NFL Films all of a sudden said, well, we have audio and maybe this would help teams, we're shipping it out with audio every week, okay, that's fair. But if one guy is making $100 on the side by sending Nick Saban a tape, that's a much bigger issue than
that's why
this game this week.
I think that this opens up a whole other can of worms that, you know, there should be a little bit of investigation into what's going on here.
But according to John Clayton, we saw him on ESPN, the league is not planning on investigating it. So
maybe the league condoned it.
Maybe the league hates the Patriots.
Maybe.
Well, there's a shock.
We know they hate their coach.
The Patriots or the league?
I'll go with the league.
The league,
I don't
want to
get in trouble like you.
Yeah, it's very true. I'm just kind of throwing it out there only because I think that it kind of bears looking at. It's an interesting subject when, you know, there's so much that is known by teams. I mean, everybody knows everything about everybody.
Right.
So, you know, you're always looking for an opportunity to play a little sleight of hand here, and it looks like the Dolphins have cashed in big time
based on
what we're reading and what we're hearing.
I'm sure the Patriots have cashed in at some point over the last
five or six years. That they probably have as well. So I find it kind of interesting in a sort of a paradoxical way here that somebody else has thrown one back at the Patriots.
You know, if we believe Bill's praise of Nick Saban for the last 3 years, well, this was the guy that was going to do it because he learned more from Nick from their time in Cleveland than Nick learned from him.
Right.
Bigger question.
He's smug.
Yes.
What do you think about Bill Belichick bringing up in his postgame comments that we're a 9-4 football team, and I'm sure a lot of teams would like to be where we are?
That's really
is it an interesting topic that one might want to look into further?
It's possible. Yeah.
Now, say one worked for the team newspaper and asked the head coach about it in the press conference.
Oh, did you do
that
today?
Would that be inappropriate?
Did you do that today?
I did.
And
it didn't go over well.
No, the head coach wasn't happy walking off.
Ooh, so he got after you, huh?
Well, not yet. But I'm questioning whether my email works when I get upstairs.
Ah, so you think maybe you've had, you know.
This is actually, John, this is just stalling. Andy doesn't want to go back upstairs.
That's true. I'm worried that he'll get a chair and a desk.
In other words, there's a note from the teacher saying please report to the principal's office.
The good news is Fred's out, so maybe they won't be able to get in contact with me.
Honestly, I thought that was out of character for him.
I did too. That's why I asked. But apparently that wasn't what they'd call okay.
I mean, because most of these people, I mean, he's, you know, they're focused on the next week. And they've always been focused in the past on playing the Patriot way of playing. And there's never been any real consideration given to how many wins and losses they had. It's only about, well, we're trying to win every week.
That's what I thought.
I actually think that's a legitimate thing for you to ask.
And Bill's response with, I said that? I don't think I said that. Right? Was that what he said?
Yeah.
I didn't bring that. I brought that up. And then Gary played the audio where he goes, we're a 9-4 football team.
Oh, wow.
Not at the press conference.
Oh, okay.
No. Gary wouldn't have the stones
to
do that.
Otherwise, Gary's email wouldn't be working right now either.
Yeah. Gary doesn't have those stones.
Might not have just played the wrong Fred Kirsch soundbite.
Wow, I think that's a legitimate question. That'll be interesting to hear a little bit later.
I'm getting yelled at. I'm going to say, John Rook agrees with me.
Oh, yeah, like that'll carry a lot of weight. Who? Oh.
Maybe
Who?
I'll just ask you to help me carry some boxes out.
Well, I don't want to hear you complaining when I have my own room on the road from now on. You don't hear me bothering Bill like that.
That's true. You stay never apart from him because you're afraid of what might be.
Tom asked delivered like Danny Bogger questions, the backup practice squad punter.
I actually heard that one. Yes.
I didn't ask.
Somebody, who asked that one
about the backup punter?
Yeah, the backup punter. No. You asked that. It was on SPFW on
yes.
.com.
Yeah, he's big on the punting situation right now. That's Tom's little pet. Subject this
Although
week.
I'm not getting anything good out of it, but you know, I do my job. My job was described to me, and I do it to the best of my ability.
I do
means,
too.
Which means you have to walk a tightrope everywhere except for some reason here, where we can say that we don't like Belichick, his family, or anything else, and we can get away with it. But if you ask a bad question at the press conference, you got to worry about being escorted
to
your car.
I don't think that's accurate.
Sense.
I don't think it's a bad question. I think if you ask.
No, I meant bad.
But I didn't even think it was unfair or.
No, it's not.
Beyond the boundaries of a normal. Week of coverage.
Let me ask you then. All right, let me ask you then. How did you phrase the question? Do you remember what specifically you asked?
I said, Bill, you often tell us that what happened last week, last month, last year even, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but in your post-game comments, you chose to bring up the fact that the team was 9-4. And why did you do that? And that's where he said, well I brought that up. And I said, didn't you? Because I was pretty sure he said, we're 9-4.
She just said, yeah, you did.
And then he started to look at Stacy like, Stacy, did I say that? And I go,
okay.
Right now I'm going down a road. I'm
Once
like,
Once he starts to turn and look at Stacy,
oh,
I'm
in
like,
trouble.
Oh, God, I'm in trouble.
But then I said, I mean, did you feel your team needed a confidence boost after a tough loss or anything of that nature to
Which
say, you know what, we're a pretty good team? And,
yeah.
And we didn't really get a response. Then he went into all that matters is this week and the Houston Texans and all that.
Well, that's
he kind of pulled out of the nosedive there, but.
It sounded to me that he was, you know, in fact, defending, you know, his team a little bit.
That's what and that's fine. Say it. Say, you know what? We're a 9-win team. We're pretty good. We had a tough game. We got our butts whooped. But we need to respond to that. That's all
that
I was looking
and
for.
And that is all that, yeah, exactly.
Instead, I got reporters telling me I'm on the hot seat.
I think that what it signals is that these guys are a little bit gun-shy with some things right now. And maybe they're even at a loss for words.
That's John Rook, Patriots playbook.
The bottom line is that I got bored listening to you two, so I started fooling around with a computer, and there's a good chance, Gary, that something broke. Okay, so on that note, Andy and I are going to go back upstairs. I'm going to go back to work, and Andy's going to go home.
Check his email before he leaves. Make sure there's no principal's note.
John Rook and his quest to be podcasted will continue after this.